Welcome to Manga Cubed, episode 104, your one-stop to manga news and commentary for the week of July 7th, 2014. I am your main host, Derek, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mo.
How's your 4th of July, everyone?
Mm-hmm. Indeed, yes, this is, of course, the episode after the 4th of July. And, yeah, I had a good 4th, didn't have to go to work, so good for me.
There was a revelation I had when I heard about the UFC losing to Belgium in the World Cup, and I was like, you know, if the US team had won and then moved and then actually played on the 4th of July and lost on the 4th of July, that would be terrible. You know, Think about it. It's like, yeah. Oh look, we beat you on your Independence Day. Ha ha! It's like, oh.
I don't think there was a game on July 4th, or was there actually?
No, there was.
I don't think the U.S. would have... Well, actually, let me check that. One sec. Let's see.
No, they were signed to. They played anyway.
Yeah, I'm just kind of wondering. Let's see if we go back. Okay, let's see. So go back to when did the U.S. Let's see. U.S. played Belgium on the 1st and then on the 4th. No, the U.S. wouldn't have played anyway. Because Belgium didn't play again until the 5th.
Oh, good thing. Still,
and then they lost against Argentina.
that was the case.
Yes, today is the game against Brazil and Germany. I might have to take a break and go see how that game goes. But
go Brazil! I mean,
you suck a dick.
Hey! it's in their country.
I don't care.
And soccer's in their blood. No. Well, okay, man, might be stereotypical, but come on now, seriously.
No, yeah, it doesn't matter. Besides, Germany has a history of going to other countries and wrecking their shit. So,
have they been to the United States and wrecked their... Ooh, no, I don't want to do that.
Well, now the U.S. has never hosted the World Cup, so...
Oh, never? Oh.
Nope, pretty sure that we haven't. All right, well, let's go ahead and get into the news for this week, shall we?
Yeah, we got a lot to cover.
Yes, we do. Starting with the Japanese comic rankings for June 23rd to the 29th. And in 10th place, we have Handa-kun, Volume 1.
9th place, Tokyo Ghoul, Volume 12.
8th place, Miseinen Dakero Kodomo Janai, Volume 4.
7th place, One Piece, Volume 74.
How the Mighty Have Fallen. Nah, just joking. All You Need Is Kill, Volume 2 in 6th place.
5th place, All You Need Is Kill, Volume 1.
4th place, Barakamon, Volume 9.
3rd place, Genshiken Ni Daime no Shichi, as in 2nd season, Volume 16.
Yeah, that's interesting. And we're way behind with a very, very, very slow release date, and I don't know why, but oh well.
Actually, doesn't Shichi mean 7? 7? Wait.
Each
part 7 of 2nd season, I guess?
No, Shichi isn't the number, Ni Daime. Each Ni being the 2, and Ni Daime meaning the 2nd.
San. Yon, Go, Roku, Shichi! Hachi.
Shichi doesn't refer to the number. Ni.
Okay,
Daime.
Okay, fine.
Eesh. That's the one that's referring to. Anyway, number 2, Okiku Furikabute Big Wind Up, Volume 23.
And number 1 is Black Butler, Volume 19.
There we go. Alright, and moving on to the New York Times Manga Bestseller List, June 22nd to the 28th. In 10th place, we have Millennium Snow, Volume 3.
9th place, Dance of the Vampire Bun, Forgotten Tales.
And may they stay that way. 8th place, okay. Judge, Number 4.
7th place, Sword Art Online, Aincrad.
6th place, Fairy Tale, Volume 39.
5th place, Mobile Suit Gundam, The Origin, Volume 6.
4th place, Number 6, Volume 7.
3rd place, Haganai, I Don't Have Many Friends, Volume 7.
2nd place, Attack on Titan, Volume 1.
And 1st place, Attack on Titans, No Regrets, Volume 1.
Why on earth is Volume 1 back up there again? Anyway.
Why is a spin-off number whatever?
Okay. Next, we have the North American Anime and Manga Releases for June 29th through July 5th. And we have Cat's Eye Season 1 DVD.
A Certain Scientific Railgun S DVD Part 1.
Chains of Lust. Dang it.
Devil Survivor 2, the animation DVD Complete Collection. Series, but total joke. I'd rather have read the hentai title than this one.
Let's see, Lost Universe DVD Complete Collection.
Photo Kano Complete DVD Collection.
This is just not my day. Sinner's Paradise DVD Complete Collection.
Horadora DVD Blu-ray Complete Series Premium Edition. And Blu-ray Set 1 and Set 2.
Shakugan no Shana Season 2 Blu-ray and DVD Complete Save Edition.
Ishiki DVD Complete Collection.
Cool. Alright, for manga releases, we have Alice in the Country of Clover, Knight's Knowledge, Volume 1.
Arpeggio of Blue Steel, Volume 1. Hey, look, Volume 1 finally came out.
Yep. D. Grayman, Volume 10 through 12, Omnibus.
Demon Love Spell, Volume 6.
Flowers of Evil, Volume 10.
This title again? Haganai, I don't have many friends. Now with 50% more fail. What?
I don't understand what that's about, but that's hilarious.
Title was that.
Alright, Lone Wolf and Cub, Volume Omnibus 5.
Midnight Secretary, Volume 6.
Mm-hmm. My Love Story, Volume 1.
Naruto, Volume 4.
Nisekoi, Volume 4.
Phantom Thief, Gan, Volume 3.
Pokemon Adventures 23, which is Fire Red and Leaf Green.
Pokemon Adventures Black and White, Volume 4.
Sacred Blacksmith, Volume 5.
Skip Beat, Volume 22, 24 Omnibus.
Sweet Rain, Volume 3.
That was Rhyme, but okay. Okay, Rain. Yu-Gi-Oh! Zeo, Volume 5.
And then for the other releases, we've got the Dynasty Warriors Gundam Reborn for the PlayStation 3, and it's a
There's one thing I know Japan's famous for. Giant robots and playing giant robots that destroy lots of other giant robots. I'm kidding, but still, Dynasty Warriors.
Yes. That is a very popular game, I must say.
I like it. I guess it's like the Call of Duty of Japan, to be honest.
I guess.
But with this one, they're not just using guns all the time.
Indeed.
Except magic powers that don't exist in a certain world. Okay.
This is really weird. I keep trying to find the Cat's Eye DVD, but I can't find it.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I'm buying. Okay.
Oh, there it is. Season 1. Tempted. That's a show that I remember watching as a kid. Alright, sorry, what were you saying?
Some pieces of news I found. You know how Japan tends to be pretty crazy with, they like to, advertise their shows or whatever by using their airplanes to advertise them?
Yeah.
Well, One Piece is getting one, but I looked at it and I was like, wow. I was like, what? You can't be kidding. Can't really be that bad. I'm like, oh, wait, it does suck. I mean, look at it.
Yeah, it kind of does blow.
It's just. Oh, you can't remember our name. We just put our airline is called Sky. Or I'm like, okay, but it's One Piece. It's the biggest popular series. If it was Dragon Ball, you freaking just paint the entire thing green called Shenron Airlines. That actually sounds awesome.
That would be cool.
But yeah, it was disappointing.
Because they have
a picture of the Pokemon type, and I'm like, holy crap, man.
Yeah.
Nippon Airways Pokemon Jet. Like, holy crap, that's
quite impressive. Right there. Yeah. Yeah, it's like the entire thing is covered, but with a One Piece one, it's just here's the thing on the back. That counts, right? Right?
it doesn't.
Lazy. Lazy, lazy, lazy.
Well, here's some more One Piece stuff, since, we've been on Attack on Titan Street the entire time. This is the first time I've heard of a One Piece exhibition outside of Japan and in Taiwan.
All right, it's still in Asia, so not much.
It's going to run until September 22nd in the city of Taipei.
Cool. Well, better get us those tickets so we can get over there.
Yeah. No, I don't have
money for that. We need to do coverage, yo.
I know, but I don't. nor did. Anyways, moving on.
Yep.
As soon as this doesn't load, this is what happens when you open so many windows on something like Google Chrome. It doesn't load at the reload. Okay.
And you have crappy internet. And you have crappy internet.
My internet's not that bad, but anyways. What does it? Aiming to resume Arata, the legend, this fall. Let's see. The hiatus will put the series will put on hiatus and weekly shown Sunday. In February, it's going to return. Let's see. Well, it's just says aiming to start again. Let's give a date. What the heck? Anyways, moving on. Okay, I hate having to reload these things. Also, my internet's AT&T. They're not bad, even though there's many things said about them. Okay, MPD Cycle Manga will end in Volume 21. For those who don't know, it's a series about detective multiple personalities that was launched in 1997. So it's been going on for a while.
Indeed. Yes.
Okay. Clamp XXX Holly. I don't know how to read that title. Ray Manga goes on hiatus. This one goes on hiatus.
Yes.
I don't see the reason why it should, but whatever, there's a reason why. Okay. Air Master Shibata will end 81 dive after two more chapters. Load on me, please. Okay. The 33rd compiled volume will ship on June 19th. The store is not going to take any breaks, and it will end at 33rd issue on July 17th. And the 33rd volume will be shipped to Japan on June 19th. It's a manga by Japanese Chess, basically.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Right. And speaking of series ending, what else do we have?
Chikabane Hime, also known as Course Princess, manga will end in September. Okay. I'll describe it. This is interesting. The manga is about an undead girl who hunts down 108 corpses in order to go to heaven. Oh, nice. He's dead, but at least it's better than the other one. The other one's just weird. Necrophilia, man. The heck?
Mo, we have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, you know the one called Sankareya. There you go.
Yeah, that, but carry on. What is the Shikabane Hime Princess, Corpse Princess manga actually about? You missed that part.
I did say it. It's about an undead girl who has to hunt down 108 spirits in order to go to heaven.
Okay, there we go. Excellent.
Okay.
All right.
Viz, Light. Okay, now we'll move on out of that stuff. Mm-hmm. On to announcements about from magazines. Viz, Light says Little Battlers X. Experience manga for North America. I don't know why the X is capitalized and the word experience is all lowercase. Dang, Japan, what the heck are you doing? I swear.
I don't know.
It's also known as Danboru Senki, I guess, so I think it's a lot easier to see it that way. When I read, I thought of Little Busters. I don't know why, but I don't know. I never seen Little Busters, though. Only probably because I've seen the name of the title from the, Fooly Cooly OST. I never even seen the series. Okay. Project Agent Fujimi Shupan will publish English comic Penguin Magazine digitally. Yes, it's news, guys. Give me a break here. This is what happens. You open way too many things on me. Okay, Vertigo adds collection of Satoshi Kon's stories. You know, the late Satoshi Kon, who died of pancreatic cancer.
Yes.
In the same year, Steve Jobs passed away then, I think. Was it the year before? Year out. 2009? Man, I'm so bad, but rest in peace, man. And I hope it's serious that he'll work on the one about the mechanical being or whatever does well, you know, in the hands of his assistants, protege and such.
Yes, we'll see what happens there. Alright, what else do we have?
Okay. Dark Horse adds Panting Stocking manga, resumes Kurosage Corpse Delivery Service. Panting Stocking. That's a... Well, it's an anime.
It's mostly a weird one.
It's a weird one. I've seen all of it, and I'm still... I liked it, but it's a weird one.
Yeah. It is.
Okay. Here's something better now. Viz Media adds JoJo's Bizarre Adventures, Battle Tendency, which is part two, and the Requiem of the Rose King manga. Requiem of the Rose King is not part of JoJo's Bizarre Adventures, let you know that.
Right.
So okay. Part two is now being released.
So we've got part one that's being released and part two that will be released, and then just recently they released the digital versions of part three for the first two volumes. So it looks like we're getting some good JoJo. Excellent.
Joseph's the best JoJo.
Yes.
And so Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why Jotaro is so popular, but I guess there's a reason why. Anyways.
Yep. Let's see. What
this
else?
Is JoJo Beat and More Vampire Knight, Meteor Prince. I like that title. And the Demon Prince of Momichi House. Okay. Let me describe what these are about. At least Meteor Prince. Okay. Story revolves around an unusually unlucky girl who is hit by a naked man named Io when he falls from the sky. He claims his reason for coming to Earth to ask her to bear his child.
Oh dear.
Okay. Actually, that's probably more bearable than the stuff I've seen so far these days. So,
At least he asked. More tame. Yeah.
Yes, at least he asked. It's like you will bear my child. Wait, you didn't ask. Oh, I asked now. You should have asked before. Okay.
Yes.
And the Demon Prince of Omichi House is about a girl who lost both her parents in an accident and was raised in an orphanage, but receives a will detailing her inheritance on her 16th birthday. She goes to the family estate, which turns out to be on the border between the real world and the spirit world. There she's attacked by a demon, but saved by a mysterious shape-shifting man named Aoi. Also, translates to the word blue. You know, the Japanese word for blue is Aoi.
Yes.
Okay. Dark Horse is going to release, oh my goddess, Omnibus manga. Oh my goddess, it's true.
Yes.
Wait, I didn't even know that, but that's cool. Yeah, this series is going to come to, wait, did it end? Oh yeah, it ended in April. Oh man, how did I forget that I covered that myself too? I'm horrible. Okay. Dark Horse adds Tony Takezaki's Neon Genesis Evangelion manga volume.
Okay.
You're the Neon Genesis Evangelion expert.
Yeah, what I'm trying to figure out what the heck this one's about. This.
Oh, it's a one-volume parody manga.
Oh, that's what it is.
It's a spoof.
Yeah, I hadn't read that one yet. Or you even know, really heard of it.
You know, I don't know why, but because of how popular Neon Genesis Evangelion is still, and how popular Attack on Titan got, I wonder if it'd be nice if they did like a crossover sort, since they both have giant beam that want to kill the humans. And they have people that can utilize such giant beings to kill those things that want to kill the humans. Aha, see? So Shinji and Eren's a team. Let's see, wait. No, wait. No, I think too much brooding there. Anyways. This is Shonen Jump to publish Rurouni Kenshin Shishio's spinoff. It's a two-chapter manga that tells the story of how Shishio Makoto and Yumi Komagata met. Okay, now the thing about this one is that it's a two-chapter, which means that Watsuki realized that his fans are unforgivable.
Yeah.
They're not going to accept anything he makes, so he just does the short bits as he can, then just runs on and does his own thing.
Yeah, honestly, I just want a sequel to Rurouni Kenshin, but it also kind of... So it's basically saying this is going to... go into, this is going to be, you know, they're going to be, you know, publishing this in the Viz Shonen Jump magazine, which is a little bit annoying because I'm, look, give us new manga, not old stuff by, not new stuff by old authors if they're not actually, you know, properly doing a sequel or something, or it's just like this short thing. I don't know. I didn't like the previous Rurouni Kenshin reboot thing, so...
I didn't like it either. I could barely say anything nice about it. I was like, what am I reading?
Yeah, so I have to say that this is not... I don't know. This probably won't be very interesting, so I'm a little annoyed that that's going to be put in the magazine, because I'm just like, look, could you put something interesting in this stupid magazine? But
I'm sorry, Watsky, but your course has run either.
Yeah.
You know, don't listen to your fans. I mean, listen to your fans, but don't do what they want you to do, okay?
Yeah.
And such, I don't really think there's ever going to be a Rurouni Kenshin sequel, even though it kind of ended in a way that there could be a sequel. At the same time, there isn't going to be a sequel because it's been too long, and there's just no chance of it, you know, even.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, his wife is a novelist. Huh.
Hmm.
Aoro Kurosaki.
What else? Yeah, what other news do we have?
Oh, and here's the best one of all. Entire Batman manga by 8-Man's Jiro Kuwata gets an English release.
Hmm. Cool.
The 1960s Batman manga will get a complete English release for the first time in both digital and print formats this year.
Hmm.
DC Comics will first release a new chapter online each week beginning on Saturday. That started as of just this past Saturday.
Yep.
DC will then publish a complete run by the 8-Man manga artist in 3 volumes later this year. The manga will appear in its original right-to-left format. Hear that? It's a manga. It's going to be read right-to-left, folks.
They know that. Why the hell would they be listening to this podcast if they didn't?
Well, that's because, you know, like the Rama 1/2 gets translated left-to-right, and it gets confusing.
No, it doesn't anymore. You have read the volumes, right?
I have.
They're right to left.
Oh, when I get confused sometimes.
They're right to left. So
it's horrible. I get confused myself.
Yes, well, yeah, they have already, if you have the DC Comics digital comics app, you can download the first chapter of the Batmonger manga. If you have Comixology, you can purchase it through there as well. I'm writing reviews of it, or at least I'm hoping they get posted on the batmanuniverse.net. I can't guarantee that they'll be posted since I just submitted the first one and I'm still waiting for feedback on it. But yeah, I'll be writing reviews chapter by chapter of it for that website. So yeah, if you get a chance, go ahead and check it out.
There's 53 chapters total of this, apparently.
Yeah, and we'll be reviewing, and we'll be going over the collected volumes when we get there.
Yeah, funny about the Batman, though. Even though it's not manga-related, when I was at the dentist, taking my sister to the dentist last week, it was on the Tuesday, I actually saw these 4 comics, and 2 of them were Scooby-Doo, rest in peace, Shaggy's voice actor, and 2 of them were Batman. And I was like, let me pass some time here. So I didn't bring earphones for my music player. So I read the Batman comics, and I was like, wow, why didn't I read comic books in the first place?
Mm.
Really, why didn't I?
Mm.
But yeah, I didn't get a chance to read Scooby-Doo because he was done by then.
Yes.
Yeah. Batman, it's in our culture. It's in our blood.
Yes, indeed. All right, do we have any other news?
No, that's it. That's why I said it's the best one ever.
All right. Excellent. All right, then. Well, let's see. Let's move on to the next segment, shall we?
Yes.
All right, then. It's time for the manga review. This time, we are going over just 2 volumes. Nisekoi Volume 4 and Ranma 1/2 Omnibus 3 Volumes 5 and 6.
Okay.
Yep. So, which one shall we start with, Ranma or Nisekoi?
Yeah.
Die.
Hey.
All right. Seriously though, which one do you want to start with?
Ranma 1/2, because the volume 5 and 6 were the first times I actually read this past the shampoo introduction.
Yes.
Shampoo introduction volume with those ice skating couples. And when I saw some of these chapters, I was like, hey, I remember seeing this in the anime and sadly some of these chapters before too, but yeah. I didn't recognize it so well because I was like, wait a second, I don't remember this. What the? This is not what I thought it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we also, Yeah, and it's what's really interesting about this is that it is a does contain a bit of an ongoing story.
It
Let's
does.
see, namely that, well, to start with, you have the you know your
Introduction of Goats and 2G.
yeah, which who also is involved with trying to discover Ranma's, you know, weak points, trying to discover what he's afraid of. And at first it doesn't work, but then they discover that, hey, he's terrified of, is like, you know, turns out he's terrified of cats because he was trained in a special, very cruel technique that makes him so terrified of cats that it breaks his mind and causes him to start acting and fighting like a cat.
Seems reasonable. The funny thing was about that technique is that it was meant to be a joke, and Genma fell for it. He was like, "Oh."
And then it actually, yeah, and then it actually works. And yeah, and then of course you've got the, and then tying into that theme of, hey, Ranma's afraid of cats, Shampoo reappears, and she fell, went to Yuzankyo to train, and she fell into a pool that turns into a cat. And of course we get a scene where the cat terrifies Ranma, and a sh cat Shampoo terrifies Ranma. Ranma falls into the hot bath. Shampoo, the cat Shampoo jumps in with him, and then Akane walks in on the two naked in the bath together.
Yes.
Indeed. And it's hilarious. And then, of course, we continue the story with the introduction of Shampoo's grandmother, who then locks Ranma into, let's see, where was it? Yeah, he blo locks Ranma into the into girl form. Well, he doesn't lock her into girl form, him into girl form. It's more he does this thing, she does this thing that Ranma now can't touch hot water because it seems way too hot.
Oh.
And then, of course, at the same time, you've got the introduction of Moose, who is you know, who's who he ends up, you know,
Fighting.
fighting. And Moose is always like, I'm in love with, you know, Shampoo and everything. And then let's see, and then you've got Ranma, and what's kind of interesting is that he,
He learns a new move, doesn't he?
in a little bit. At first what we've got is Ranma yeah, because his heat receptors are way too high, and then he turn take goes to take a bath in a warm water, but turns out it's feels like it's boiling, but it's barely warm. And you've got, yeah, and you've got Ranma completely naked as a girl there, of course. This one has a lot more nudity, I've noticed.
Yeah, I know that the nudity doesn't just apply to Ranma anymore, except still doesn't apply to Akane.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, so basically, yeah, the his body is as sensitive of a, as a cat's tongue, so yep, he has to become Shampoo's you know, groom if he wants to turn back into a guy. And of course, that's the next ongoing plot where you've got him, he has to fight Moose, who doesn't know that he turns into a girl. And so he tries to disguise himself as a guy and fights and ends up fighting Moose and defeating him. And then let's see, then we go from there. You go back to the, let's see, keep going. You continue with the story of him trying to get the, you know, figure out how to turn back into a guy, and that goes on for like a good volume at least.
It does.
And then it, let's see, how further do we, he does learn, end up, let's see, yeah, he does end up learning the chestnuts roasting on an open fire technique.
Abba Bunny Kane? How's it pronounced in Japanese?
Oh,
I
let's
always heard that
see.
as the Japanese version. I played the fighting game on Super Nintendo.
Yeah, it's like Katsu Tenshin Amaguriken, I believe it is.
Oh, it's Amaguri Ken. Dang
Yes.
it.
Yep, and then
Amaguri
he gets turned into a guy again.
Ken.
And let's see. Then from there we continue onward, and it, what's really interesting about these two volumes is that they use Shampoo and her grandmother as more of a you know, that uses them very well as these plot motivators. Like they're not there as, you know, it's like they're there and are used to continue an ongoing plot. The main plot really is trying to get Ranma to marry Shampoo over the course of these two volumes, and it's a lot much more of a connecting plot than the previous volumes really had. Because then you get on and Ryoga shows up again and he wants to fight Ranma, but he's not, now that Ranma has the new technique, he's not strong enough. So Shampoo's great grandmother teaches Ryoga a new technique, which is the Bakusai Tenkets.
The breaking point.
Yep, which allows him to find the breaking point of any object and with a single finger destroy it.
But there's a twist. It doesn't work on, it only works on rocks, apparently.
Yeah. And what's really funny is you have the fight between him and Ranma is one of my favorite parts. When I watched it in the anime, it was absolutely fantastic. Because you've got Ranma is like, you know, I can take him anytime. I train, you know, I've trained too, but then because Akane is like, you know, Ryoga's training is, you know, he's way tougher than he was before because he kept his training involved constantly getting smashed by a giant rock. And then, yeah, it's like,
all Ranma did was dodge bees.
Yeah, it's like, I bet all you did was practice dodging. And Ranma was like, oh, yeah, that is all I did. And then you've got, let's see, the best, let's see where to go. Yeah, and then, of course, you've got the best part of the fight is the Saotome secret technique. And it's, like, Genma's like, will he really use it? Yeah. And it's absolutely fantastic. It's like, the Saotome secret technique? And he ends up ducking down, turning his back to Ryoga, and is like, face opponent and fast break! He just runs away. And it's like, was the Saotome secret technique, that was the Saotome secret technique? He's like, come back, you coward.
He's like, hey, it's hard to come up with.
Yeah, listen well, my son. The secret technique of the Saotome clan is founded upon the tenets of motion, contemplation, and opposition. In other words, running away to buy yourself time to think about how to attack your enemy. Bingo. It's like, what kind of technique is that? Hey, it's harder than it looks.
It is harder than it looks.
And it is actually a valid technique. What's funny is that it is actually valid. Because if you're facing multiple opponents, what you want to do is, you know, you run away until, and hope that, one, you're faster than all of them. Two, that some of them are, like, one or two of them are faster than the others, so they catch up to you faster. So you turn around, beat them up, and then as the others are, you know, closing in, you run away again and hope that there's an even spread of who is faster than the rest. And so that you end up, once you get far away enough, you can beat them up one by one.
It's a battle technique that works in about every other series too, not just manga.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, yeah, but ultimately Ranma discovers that he can defeat Ryoga by using his Amagurikin technique, but not as, you know, a scattershot technique, but rather as a focused one where he punches the same place over and over and over, and that...
Kind of like Luffy's Gomu Gomu Storm, right? Was that like the concentrated punch thing?
I don't think so. I think his Storm was just a more wild version of his Gatling.
Ah.
But yeah, the two techniques are pretty similar, except Luffy has the advantage of distance.
That's true.
But yeah, so... Yeah, and then of course the bit where you end up is like, Ranma's all pissed at Ryoga at, you know, great-grandmother, because she's like, how dare you, Cologne? I mean, that's her name. Jeez, how could I forget that?
That's her name?
Yeah, Cologne.
Damn, they kept calling her the old lady or something.
Yeah, but it is, like, how dare you teach Ryoga something so dangerous? And he's like, oh, you mean this little breaking point? And touches Ranma. He's like, ah, don't worry. It's actually just used as, you know, for construction industry to make things, you know, in China, to make them it easier to move rocks by smashing them. And...
I wish I had that technique.
It would be pretty useful. And then we've got the couple chapter story of Ranma being forced to be this dude's, you know, fiance. But then it turns out that the reason for this is because his fiance is a monkey and he doesn't want to marry a monkey. But then it turns out, no, wait, it isn't. She isn't a monkey. It's just that the actual fiance was so embarrassed that she just sent a monkey in her place. And then they got married. And the end, and it was hilarious. So
they must get rid of that horse first.
Yes. I think the definite thing about this volume is that volumes 5 and 6 have a much more connected narrative. I mean, even though it deals with multiple storylines, they are still all connected in one ongoing story, essentially. which really works well. And then, I mean, the same plot line will come up later on. But for the moment, it certainly it's kind of a
Yeah.
stands alone very well, I find. Volume 4 does. So definitely highly recommended.
You mean, wait, volume, wait, I thought you meant Omnibus 3, volume 5 and 6. You said volume 4.
Yeah, Omnibus 5. Yeah, let's see.
Gets confusing because I'm used to reading single volumes and reading omnibuses. It's like, well, what? Just split it up in my head. It makes it easier when you split things up in your head, you know, in smaller pieces.
Yeah, pretty much. So it is definitely highly recommended to anyone that likes One and a Half. It is a little heavy on the nudity compared to other parts, especially because for some reason Shampoo is one of the ones that, besides Ranma, that's constantly getting naked. So that is kind of interesting. Have you noticed how there's always like this certain characters in a series that get more fan service than others? And that's kind of what Shampoo is there. So.
Well, of course, already recommended reading it in the first place. And like I said, for me, it was my first time reading this volume, omnibus, two volumes omnibus, whatever. Because, like I said, I stopped after the whole Shampoo said goodbye thing, and then she comes back. And I'm like, yeah, I know she's coming back, but I didn't think she'd come back. And I recall the cat food part. I recall the phoenix pill part. I recall the Amaguri Ken part. I don't know why I want to say I'm a booty cane. I never saw the tea part. I guess that was like one of those. Yeah, I remember the training in the mountain part too, but I never saw the never read or seen the tea guy part. It was a tea guy that Rama met and almost married or something. Except the guy was like, except once the guy found that he was the guy, like, oh, I'm not marrying you. Like, thank goodness, someone reasonable. And then
Yes.
you go for Akane, like, oh, Akane, no. But yeah, Ghost
Indeed.
and Fuji appearing in the this omnibus. I was like, oh, that's where he appeared. I thought he was gonna appear later on.
Yeah, no, he appears pretty, well, relatively early on. I mean, this is a pretty long running series, but
Still pick my
nonetheless.
favorite character, but I know what volumes he appears in. Omnibus, I mean, so it's gonna take a moment.
Yes. Let's see. And all right, let's go ahead and talk about Nisekoi Volume 4, which in
Boy.
itself is more,
Self-contained?
yeah, definitely it has a lot more, shorter alone stories. You've got Tsugumi getting a love letter and being embarrassed about it. You've got it's what's the bit after that. They go on a you've got Raku and Onodera go on a sort of date, trying to get a gift for Chitoge's birthday, and they have a moment where she says she thinks, where Onodera thinks says she thinks she is the girl, that he made a promise with, or at least she's pretty certain he is.
She thinks, and then I kind of have to say that's a no because you think that's pretty much a no.
Yeah,
Pretty
well.
much a no, I don't think so at all. Yeah, if you ever say you think, you're pretty much wrong. I'm gonna say that much.
Yeah. Let's see. And what else do we? Yeah, there's one thing. Let's see. There's one thing I wanted to check. Let's see. Nuts. We don't get to see what the key looks like that the girl had in Volume 1, because you brought that up earlier, how they all have the different shapes, and I'm trying to find the shape of the key of the girl from his
Oh,
past.
volume one. Oh, you mean volume one, right?
Yeah, but I'm not finding it.
Dang it.
So, let's see. No, it's not there. Oh well. All right, and then after
Tricky,
that,
tricky, tricky.
yep. And then after that, you've of course got let's see. After that, you've got the actual birthday, and then you find out. So you've got Onodera is like, oh hey, yes, I think I'm the girl that made the promise with you, but I'm not sure. And then you find out that Chitoge knows the words "zavzi," and I don't even know
It
what that
means
means.
always in Polish.
Why Polish?
Don't ask why Polish. The Japanese don't make sense sometimes. Let's just nod
With
our head
languages.
and pretend that they know the languages because they'd like to pretend they know English very well. I'm very sorry, Japanese people. You're awesome.
Yes. That's still not going to stop the angry emails, you realize. So stop being a jackass. Okay. Yeah, but still, no, but really, I mean, there has to be a reason why it's in Polish. I mean, granted, it is a very. It's an unusual choice, so,
Yeah.
and it's more original than using English, but at the same time, I'm wondering, is this, does this mean that the girl that he's with is Polish?
be more original than using German.
Yeah, definitely. And I know Chitoge is part American, part Japanese, so it wouldn't. So she's. So if the girl is meant to be Polish, it's probably not her unless she has. Unless Chitoge has ancestors that were Polish or something like that.
Probably.
I kind of wonder if it will actually come up. But yeah, we get the reveal that.
Pretty much, what if she told guys I'm having some ancient grandmother appears and say, "Oh, I'm Polish." Oh, great! There's our answer right there.
Yep. But yeah, anyway, so they decide that, hey, oh, maybe Chitoge is the one, but then they try to open up the lock, but then the key breaks off because there's something stuck in there. And you get great expressions from them where they're just like, oh.
Wait, was this something stuck in there, or was
I
it?
think there was something stuck that's why it broke off, as we'll
Oh.
later find out that we may know what's stuck in there. But yeah, and then Raku talks to Chitoge's dad, and it turns out that, hey, they knew each other when they were kids. And oh, by the way, they also, and then he's like, oh, yes, the last thing I expected was to see the three of you together again. And he's like, wait, the three of us? And it turns out that, the three of you always used to play together, the young lady who came with us. And then it's like, oh, wait a minute. So that was kind of well done, because first you've got Onodera revealing that, hey, he knew her when they were little, probably. And then Chitogen is like, hey, he pro knew her when she was little, probably. And then it turns out, yes, he did. Both of them. They knew each other, they all three of them knew when they were kids. So now there's a legitimate question: who is the actual girl that he remembers?
I swear the father are just messing with them.
Yeah. But let's see, and then from there on, let's see. Then they go, let's see, they get the pictures from the
I mean, hang
school
on.
trip.
Yeah,
Oh.
let me get to something. Let me get something. There was a part about how Chitobe's father said, "Oh yeah, you the three you met," and I'm like, and he was saying, "Oh, we when Raku's father and I met at this secret Japanese location." I'm like, how did Kurosaki even find him in the first place? Must be the park. Public park. How is that private, even? Hello? Dang it, don't be quiet all of a sudden.
Yeah, sorry, I was looking at something.
It was just confusing. Also, there was a, just go back a bit, there was a part about where Onodera showed Raku her secret place. And let me just say, that place is going to come into play later on, unless you guys have been listening to the commentaries, you may actually know what I'm talking about.
Yes, true.
Take a look at that location. It looks very familiar.
Yes.
Look at it. Anyways, go
I
on.
want
What
to.
you were saying.
Yes, moving on. Let's see. We got the pictures, and then Onodera's like, wait, Raku had a picture of Chitoge. Does he really actually like her, even though they said it was, fake? But what she didn't know is that,
First thumb.
that it was, because the thumb was in the way. She doesn't realize that the picture that he got. That he took it away because it turns out it was a picture that had her changing in the background. And he's like, that would be embarrassing.
If I looked at something, I would be holding with my right hand. Well, she's holding with her left hand with her thumb. I'm like, wow, that's pretty convenient.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that is
She's
kind of
left hand.
like, yeah, wait, what? Although at the same time, if she had seen that he was getting a picture of her changing, she'd be like, wait, what? Yep, and let's see, and also we found out that, hey, Raku was wondering, oh, it would be so helpful if there were, if we had any pictures from back then, but then it turns out, yes, they do, he just can't find them. And then, let's see, they've got the study session, which is really funny. Let's see, where is it? Where'd that, oh, no, I don't see that, study session, study
Is that the
session.
one with all the? Is that one of the two fun, really funny faces Shu and Raku made, or
Yeah.
later?
Yes, it is. They have those silly faces.
That face scared me when I saw it. And I saw it again. I'm like, that face still scares me. Shu, what are you doing? You thought that?
It's like, and then they're reading like this really racy text. It's like, who do you love? Me more, me or her? And it's like the what that darn teacher. Yep, and let's see. And let's see, Raku then finds the picture, and then he sees a picture of him with a girl, and he has no idea who she is.
Of course.
And yeah, and then you end up, let's see. Yep, they end up, let's see, you got another bonding moment between Raku and Chitoge, and then you find out that Raku has a fiance that his dad had forgotten about, and he has some pretty great pictures. It's like, I was like, oh yeah, you know, there's someone, a certain someone's coming to see you. It's like, who is it? Oh, you know, your fiance. And he's got the face. And you're just like, it's like, what did you say? Your fiance. Whose fiance? Yours. And then, of course, his face is just like, seriously, what the heck? And then, yep. And then we find out that. See, and then, of course, it turns out that he promised that Raku marry a friend of his, and it turns out that her dad is the chief of police, and so that's kind of why he can't go back on it. So it's kind of definitely a very much a taking a page out of Ranma One Half here, which is kind of amusing that we just that we you know that we got that you know that we got the that we reviewed the two of them together. But yeah, we meet Marika, and she is hilarious.
She is the best,
Yep.
except for some of those parts. So for some of those last pages of the chapters that she's appeared in, and I'm like, no, like in this volume, and I'm like, wait, is she bad or is she just like, it's just hard to tell.
Yeah,
Of course,
she's.
now and later on we find that she's not that.
Yeah, well, she, you know, she is kind of like one of those, you know, she likes to, you know, make plans and have things her way, which is entertaining.
Although I do like the fact that was it she's on with the cop, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, duh. But
Duh.
yeah, and I mean, it shows she's the daughter of the police chief. You know this, so of course she has a bunch of cops around her. But anyway, also there's a bonus comic that is it's called Newlyweds at the end. It's just a 3-page little comic, and it shows grown-up Onodera. And the way the comic reads is that it's kind of one of those point of view stories where you, the reader, all the panels are laid out so that you, the reader, have like it's as if you were talking to her.
Oh
And
boy.
you've got it all just, you know, the typical, oh, how are you doing? Is like, you know, it's like your dinner's ready and your bath's ready too. Which would you like first? And then at the same time, I was like, thank you for having the class, not to add the, or would you like me
Thank
first, you know,
goodness.
and or at least not as not at first, because you know, it's like, hey, let's get you know, let's have our dinner, and then, you know, and then got the their they've got their dog. It's like Togechi, and it looks exactly like Chitoge. And it tries to bite him. And
She's a dog.
yeah, and then it's like, you know, but then of course he d immediately does the darling, after dinner, if you'd like, shall we take a bath together? And then of course Raku wakes up. He's like, I would do anything to have the rest of that dream. It's like, ah!
Then
It turns out that, yeah, and then it turns out that Onodera had the exact same dream. She wakes up. It's like, oh, good grief, I'm shocked at myself. And the note was, Onodera's dream went just a bit further than Raku's. That's hilarious. And yeah, so yeah, it turns out that the volume ends with Onodera having a wet dream. That's hilarious. Also kind of gross. Because we must always keep in mind that these characters are in high school, so for shame. All right, and that is that. Volume 4 of Nisekoi has been reviewed. All right, one of these days I'll do a written review of them, but what the heck. All right, for next week we've got, I believe, Seven Deadly Sins Volume 3, and then Volumes 5 and 6 of Attack on Titan, I think we shall do. Does that sound
Okay,
good?
back to check on time.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll go back to Attack on Titan. The only reason we didn't do it this week is because we already had 3 volumes of manga to talk about. So, any more than that would be silly.
Right, okay.
And so, yeah, but net for, yeah, for this week, we've got the new release of Seven Deadly Sins Volume 3, and I should go get that.
Ah, yeah.
And then I'll go purchase that today, and then I'll read it, and then we'll have the two volumes of Attack on Titan to read, so you'll be good. All right, but for now, let's take a quick break and move on to the commentary section, shall we?
Intermission.
This is the chapter commentaries for the week of July 7th, 2014, for issue 32 of Weekly Shonen Jump. And as always, spoilers. Though by the time that we release these on Friday, hopefully everyone has read the chapters. Starting with Nisekoi, chapter 129, where
I wish it was cold here.
Yes, I do. Yeah, well, we find out that Marika is being cold towards Ichijo, saying things like, "Would you mind not addressing me so informally, Mr. Ichijo?" And then, of course, Raku is all, "Wait, what's going on here?" And Chitoga is asking, "What did you do to her?" But then we find out that Marika has a. We cut back a little bit to the previous night. We find out that she has a. She kind of has a battle score that she keeps where she keeps track of how many times she hugged Ichijo or, touched him or talked to him. But it doesn't seem to be doing any good. And then she sees this hint in the magazine saying, "Hey, instead of coming on strong, try pulling away and be more mysterious so that."
That actually you that usually tends to work. Actually,
Yeah.
that does tend to work because they're like, "What happened to you? You used to talk to me so much." "Oh, I'm busy. Don't talk to
Yeah.
me now. I'm busy."
Yeah. Although with her, I think the mistake that she makes as we find out is that she's actually being more rude about it rather than just being like, "Oh yeah, sorry, no, I don't have time right now." But yeah, the funny thing in the chapter is that it turns out that there's constant excuses for her and Raku to be together, such as they're the class officers for the day and are in charge of clearing off the chalkboard, blackboard, I mean. And let's see, they also end up
Still
taking
use
these.
blackboards?
The what?
They still use blackboards?
I guess.
Oh,
Yeah, they also,
they're.
although they also use, they also find out, they also end up taking, let's see, the worksheets to the teacher, and it's pretty freaking hilarious because you've got the shoulder devil and shoulder angel of Marika that are saying, like, "Look, throw your arms around him," or, "No, take good things come to those who wait," and you're just like, "Wait, neither of you are particularly good or particularly evil. You're just." Yeah, that's silly.
The shoulder angel, the shoulder, what do you call, okay, angel and devil?
Devil, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you also get a really funny. You also get a. I think my favorite part of this chapter, well, parts of this chapter, is every time Raku does something nice for her and she has to, be cold about it. It's like, "Thank you, but nobody asked for your help." He's got like these. Like smudges under her eyes, and she's sweating. And then,
There's also the one where like sitting in it, and then like even the angel is like, "Yeah, no," but I'm like, "Wait, you're supposed to be the angel, not the devil." That was funny.
I think, and I also, yeah, and I think my favorite face of the chapter is the one after she almost trips, and Raku, helps catch her. And just the expression she has is like, "Who asked for your help anyway?" It's hilarious. And yeah, but it is does seem to be working where he's wondering what the heck's going on. But yeah, that one panel right after they trip on they try to get the books and they trip and he lands on top of her. That panel where she's just saying, "Yeah, keep away, would you?" is absolutely heartbreaking in a way, just because she's just you can't see her face, but you can tell she's absolutely devastated. But yeah, and then of course you got the moment where she's like, "Wait, didn't I go a little too far?" And then you got the second best face where when Raku is all, "Hey, if you hate me now, at least tell me why," and she can't take it anymore. He's like, "No!" And I love the way he does where the way no, she draws the teary eyes because it I don't know, it just looks so goofy. It's It's hilarious and heartbreaking at the same time. Yeah. So, yeah, and then of course you. Yeah, and it's the reveal of, oh wait, what was actually going on? It does work. The funny thing is that this also reminds me of one of the chapter, one of the stories in Ranma One Half, where Shampoo ends up taking this thing that makes her hate Ranma, and so Ranma does everything that he can to get her to like him again, while at the same time you're like, no, you idiot, you finally got rid of one of the biggest problems in your life. Don't try to bring it back.
Oh, I can't remember seeing an episode like that.
Yeah, it was. I think
You're
it was an
spoiling it,
OVA.
whatever. All right.
Yeah, it was an OVA. But
Oh, okay. That's why. That's why I felt like I seen one.
yeah, and of course, by the end, Marika has learned absolutely nothing, and she's like, "I got these new love advice books. I just got to be proactive." And Ichijo's in a neck brace.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And of
The last page, he's like, I'm like, I didn't see a crack, but I'm like, I'm sure I heard a crack somewhere. You just don't see it.
yeah. And we also, and also, I like the third best face is the one that Marika makes the panel immediately after Raku says, "Yeah, I was like, no, of course I don't dislike you." It's like, now that I know what's going on, so it's quite excellent. All right, let's move on to Bleach chapter.
587, the Headless Star, Part 6.
Yes, and we get a color page for
Orihime and
Chad and Orihime as they're entering, and good gosh, it's just been so long since since Kubo had any of his massive fan service characters in the story that I'd forgotten that he can be pretty shameless. Actually, I think this is the most shameless he's ever been, not counting for example the what was it, Halibel's design.
Aranjar, yeah. I
Yeah,
mean the
but
other, sorry.
yeah,
Thank
from Orihime's design, I'm just looking at that dress and I'm just thinking, okay, unless your powers involve the rejection of gravity, I don't think that shirt is going to stay on.
It needs to breathe. That's no excuse.
I'm pretty sure they're getting plenty of air. I'm just saying that the force of gravity would say, hey, that's a big enough hole that everything's going to fall out.
Yep.
So yeah, that is just an insane outfit, but okay then.
Also, it doesn't help that the magazine, this issue was published on July 7th, which is according to Bleach, Orihime's birthday.
Oh, hey,
Happy birthday, Orihime.
Yeah, show off your tits to everyone. Right. Yeah, and
Well, that makes.
it's really weird because I mean normally she's not necessarily really a fan service character despite the massive, breasts.
I don't think she's the one that chose the outfit. Someone chose the outfit for her, clearly.
Yeah, clearly, but I mean, well, yeah, the artist for one, but I mean just in general, it's a very weird design choice for an outfit for her just because I mean, yeah, she's been the source of fan service in the past, but never too blatant. It's like, it's weird. It's like she's the fan service and the not fan service character. You know that one that you have in series that show nudity, where you have that one female lead that they don't ever show her full on naked, and yet, she still has moments where she's shown in a very fan servicey way. Orihime would kind of be that character, but at the same yeah, but at the same time, it's. I don't know, it's weird. It's a weird outfit for
It
her to be wearing. You'd think that she'd be like, no, can I have something that actually covers me properly? Or maybe she's just like, you know what? I've tried everything else. I'm just gonna flat out show off the goods. Maybe Ichigo will notice me then.
know, it's possible. Okay, it's possible Halibel's still alive, so maybe one of those her that probably gave her the outfit was like, "Here, you can wear this."
I wouldn't be surprised.
It's
Also,
like, okay.
well done tying that to something relevant, because for a second I was like, dude, I stopped talking about Holly Bell like 2 minutes ago, but well done. You actually had it be relevant, so good. But yeah, that would actually be really funny where it's like, hey, thank you for freeing me from these Quincy's. Here, have this outfit. And she's like, thanks, but no thanks. I'd rather not dress like a skank. At
Can I keep
which point,
mine?
yeah.
Well, no, because they're kind of sorry. What do you mean that? Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, that's enough talking about the scantily clad female on the cover, although it had to be
So she's
mentioned.
my favorite.
Yeah, but nonetheless, let's move on to the actual chapter where Ichigo is yelling at Yorio and he's all like, "Hey, Yorio, what are you doing?" And then it's a little unclear because at first you're sort of like, "Wait, what's going on?" But then, yeah, I guess it took me a couple looks to realize that Orio was attacking him. And then
Yeah.
Orihime jumps in front of Ichigo and uses her shield to protect him against the attack. And, well, her and Chad, actually, he's there too. But, yeah, I do find it kind of interesting how she probably could have protected him just by using the shield. She didn't have to get in front of him like that. But at the same time, you know exactly what she's thinking. He's like, "Oh, sweet. It's like an opportunity to throw my now mostly unclothed breasts at in his chest. Yay." I'm pretty sure that is what she was thinking. But also, is it just me or does her hair look different from normal? From, I mean, before?
What do you mean?
Yeah. I don't know. It's
Yeah, it does.
a little bit. But then again, he hasn't drawn her in forever, so that might just be the reason why. We're just not used to
Yeah.
seeing it like that, but yeah. And so, yeah, she ends up, yeah, you have a couple moments of Orihime being kind of her lighthearted, goofy self, which I was like, thank you. It's about freaking time. It's been too long. But, and then of course, you have the characters are all just, telling each other, oh, I was like, what are we going to do? Yeah, we're shocked. We need to go save Uryu. And then, yeah.
I like the panel where Chad just lifted and he goes like, oh, like, what
Yeah, and
are
when he throws him underneath that Orihime's horrified face. And also the, yeah, where they're basically bad mouthing Uryu, and Orihime is like, I think Uryu would be mad if he heard this. And I was like, yeah, he probably would, but he's being a douchebag, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're all just like, hey, let's get, you know what? We're gonna smack him and bring him back, and if we even if we agree with his reason for joining the Quincy's, we're gonna smack him and bring him back. And then Urahara shows up and says, "Hey, shall I get you into the Ryokyu?" And it's like, it may take some time. And then we cut to the Soul Reapers and the Vandenreich fighting, and you get a really weird scene with Renji,
Renji and Basby. That was hilarious, though.
yeah, it was weird because you've got Renji insulting Basby by saying, "Hey, it's like you better stop talking nonsense, chicken head," and he's like, "Wait, are you referring to this awesome mohawk of mine?" It's like, "What? You don't like chickens? They get up early, lay eggs. They're awesome." It's like, "You like that too, right? I respect that." It's like, "You're dead." He's like, "I thought you'd have some taste because of those cool eyebrows, but I guess I was wrong." She's like, "You think my brows are cool?" And just in the background, Riku's like, "How nice of him."
The one going on there, I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah, I never,
Friendship on the battlefield. I
yeah,
mean, no.
yeah. It's scenes like this that make me legitimately wonder why people would want Rukia to end up romantically involved in Ichigo, because quite frankly. Any, I'd rather not, just because her and Renji are far more entertaining when they're around each other. So any excuse to keep them from being separated would make the manga better. Because, quite frankly, just her in the background, just with her snarky comments, is like, yeah, it's like Renji is like, yeah, we're pissed at Ishida for joining the other side, like you said, and Ruki's like, you were upset. And yeah, it's just her snarky comments are much more entertaining than anything you could do otherwise. But yeah, I do like Renji's like, you're such a great guy, because I guess too late now. And yep, and then we cut to the Ryokyu where Ivach, Hushvolt, and Uryu are appearing, and all the towers seem to be collapsing. So, good times. All right, well, let's move on to One Piece chapter 752, Palm. starting with the limited cover series number 21, The Solitary Journey of Jinbei.
Yeah, it was definitely Jinbei. We had a feeling. But you were like, oh, it might not be Jinbei. I'm like, dude, it's Jinbei. What are you talking about?
I didn't say it isn't Jinbei. I said we don't see anything, so, you know, have that little part in the back of your head that assumes that maybe it's not what we think it is. I mean, it was obvious, but at the same time, don't ever commit 100% to any prediction if there's a chance that it may not be right.
I like to be wrong sometimes. I like to be wrong because it's fun, because at least I gave it a shot. Because, to be honest, I was thinking it could be Vivi. No, I would not.
No, why the hell would it be Vivi? Why the hell would it be anyone besides Jinbei? But it could have been someone else. Nonetheless, it's Jinbei. Now we actually see him. So, and it looks like he's going to be helping a lost sea kitten. So I wonder what we're in for with this storyline. I imagine that we'll probably get Jinbei just, you know, well, if there's a sea kitten, there's a chance that he's near Alabasta. No, that doesn't make any sense. Why would he be all the way back there? But, yeah, I guess we'll kind of see what he does, you know, what he does. But for now, I imagine just a nice little set of adventures, and then we get him in a place where he is ready to be, you know, to be meet up with the Straw Hats, most likely. So
it totally reminds me of when I was reading the Alabasta arc, and then with the Haji part showed, I was like, huh, I never paid attention to that. And when I was paying attention to the Haji part, I was like, oh, look, yeah, he came through, and then I'm looking at Jinbei, like, oh, great, now it's like Alabasta. I have to wait until Jinbei arrives. It's like a long time.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move into the chapter itself, and then Doflamingo is like, hey, I came to rescue you. What a stupid trap to fall into. A shortcut? Really? And he kind of shoots Moosey, and then Law and Luffy fall over, and they're kind of, in the water. And it doesn't look like they've lost strength or anything. They're just kind of, you know, stuck there. And
it looked like they lost strength. I mean, they're just like, you know, not moving.
Yeah. Luffy does look like he's just kind of like, you know, in there. Or wait, actually, wait a second. Let's see. Luffy is, when he's in the water, he seems to be out of breath. So that could be because of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would explain the trap, because it gets them, you know, gets them in there. And then once they fall into the water, they're, you know, out of strength. But, yeah, and then, of course, Doflamingo is all about, oh yeah, talking about my brother, etc. And then, you know, it's like, if you haven't gone soft, why are you dying such a pathetic death? And then Jeet and Abdullah show up and just stab him and pretty much sever Doflamingo's, you know, torso from his, you know, from his legs. But at the same time, I'm kind of thinking,
That's too easy.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah, you can do that once, Oda. You can't milk this for much more. Because, of course, it turns out to be a string clone. And the strings for his upper body disappear. Except then you've got, and then his legs are still there. So you're thinking, I wonder what that's about. And then it turns out that Kelly, and then you find out from Jeet and Abdullah that Kelly Funk was, you know, actually the one that, you know, that he tricked them, because he basically, we assume, because he wanted the bounty.
Yep, I had a feeling.
And then Doflamingo shows up and actually does save them from him.
That one was strange.
Yeah, it's like, wait, he actually did save them? I feel so humiliated. And then Luffy pulls a Zoro and just smashes his way through the through the ceiling up to the next level. And it's pretty much chaos with Luffy running in to fight. And then you've got a pretty great scene on the former Royal Plateau. You've got Rebecca, Robin, and Bartolomeo. Yeah, they're like, you're joking, right? Right? It's like, it's true. People can't. And they're like, people can't fly with stag beetles. Let's just run through town. Yeah, it's like, okay, here's the explanation. It's like, are you hearing this? It's like, this is the Tau jumping service. Big people are too heavy to fly. And they're like, that's what we said. But we don't have much time, so we need you to fly anyway. And it's like, You just said that we couldn't fly and they get kicked off the edge.
I'm so confused here.
And Viola is like, Leo. And then you've got Bartolomeo is like, you told Tata's all pay for this. And then it turns out that, you know, they can't fly, but what they can do is slow the fall by using those beetles, kind of like having them sort of like, you know, hovering around this, they're all kind of like attached to their own little strings that attach to one center string that they're holding.
Yeah, and so, keep going.
Yeah, and so they're basically, you know, being, you know, they're being slowed by falling like that. And, of course, also worth pointing out is that Rebecca has not bothered to change her clothes yet. And this panel just goes to show that there is no way that outfit should be staying on. Because, I don't understand it, really. Because she's got, like, a scale male bikini that attaches around the back of her neck and then goes behind her back and attaches in a certain way. We haven't seen her without a cape, so we don't know how it attaches. But there's nothing connecting it in the front, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just sort of, would that stay on? That doesn't seem like it would stay on. You know what
maybe,
I mean?
Maybe, we didn't see the back. Maybe when she loses her cape, but she will probably lose her cape.
I think, okay, here's the only way that I can see that it would make sense, is say, for example, there was a string connecting it, you know, that keeps the cups basically kind of stationary and in one place so they're not moving around as much. But I guess with the movement, as she moved, there'd be a lot of, movement, and they might fall out if they were stationary. Well, if it's like this, it's easier to keep it's easier for the cups to stay like centered on the individual breasts. And so when she's moving, the cups move with it. I guess that's the only explanation that I can think, as long as it's a
good outfit. Why are we analyzing this?
I don't know. It really bugs me.
I know it does. That's why I saw, this has to be pointed out. I mean,
yes, and I'm doing that. I'm pointing it out and trying to explain how the hell this works, but. And then again, fan service, so whatever. But still, I'm just like, any ladies in the listening, please leave us feedback and tell us, does this actually work? Because I have no idea. But yeah, so anyway, the important part is that they're, you know, since they can slow their fall and they're basically, you know, they're going to be floating and they can kick off buildings. And as long as they're careful from attacks from below, they can get, you know, they can make their way over across the city, up the Pika statue, and, you know, get up there faster than they would normally. And let's see, we also have
Ptolemy, I feel like a balloon.
Yeah, that, and his expression is pretty hilarious. He's like, yay! He's like, wahoo! And let's see, we get some more. We got, got some more fights. We got Frankie, Zoro, Sabo. And then we finish off with Doflamingo talking about how, it's a shame that he, it's a shame that, you know, Law is, you know, we're going to have to kill him because he was so promising. And then we see a flashback of him when he met with Law and he had, all these bombs and strapped him. And he's like, you know, I don't have much longer to live. I was raised in a white town. And I'm just thinking, oh.
What?
Interesting. I wonder what white refers to. But yeah, what's interesting here is that you see that Doflamingo, the reason that he sent his string copy is not because, you know, he wanted to attack them or taunt them or anything. He was actually planning to give them the key to Law's cuffs. And then he finds out that they actually have it in, you know, they have it, you know, under control. And so he didn't give it to them. And I'm just thinking, oh man, I wonder what this is all about. This is really weird. Doflamingo has been very ambiguous for a lot of it. You just have these lot of moments where he does things where you're just thinking, wait, this doesn't make, why would he do this? Or why would he do that? And whatnot. So it's a really good chapter. I really like this, even though it's split between the several different stories, but it managed to focus on the important ones. You know, we got several pages of the ones that were important, and then just got all the ones that we just needed, like, you know, just to check in on them, on It just got like a page of those all together. And so, yeah. Also worth pointing out is that One Piece will be off next week. Which, boo, I say boo.
I
But
know. I guess even Game of Thrones was not, that doesn't help at all. The Tonto at all.
well, I don't know whether it
Oh,
doesn't help, but it probably is just like he still needs a break.
he still needs a break.
So I'm not surprised there. All right, but let's move on to One Punch Man chapter
35.3,
yes, where
part 3.
it's basically you've got Lord Boros puts himself back together and then uses his next, massive finishing move. And the entire chapter is just Saitama that and then Saitama countering with his serious punch, which is just the same thing from several different angles, and I'm just like, okay, that was fun. It kind of didn't give us anything, but it was a very nice art choice. Like,
Yeah.
I swear this is like the art house manga, the art house film of action manga. It's weird.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mind one bit, but it was all right. I mean, there really isn't anything to talk about. Is the thing,
I can't really even rank it, to be honest. That's the problem about that. I have to wait until the entire chapter comes out fully to rank it.
True. That is very true. Because it is a weird month. It's like a monthly series that comes out like every other week or something, bit by bit. But anyway, let's talk about the actual monthly series there. We have Blue Exorcist, Chapter 58, Middle Game.
Yay, it's finally back.
Yeah, it's been a while. I almost forgot about it. But yeah, you do see that Shiomi actually manages to get away, like the zombie lets her go when she screams, which,
It looked weird on the first page. It looked like the zombie's kind of eating her leg. I was
yeah,
like,
that was like, gross, 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 but yeah. And then you also get the focus on Bon, who uses his bazooka, and then it turns out it's not as awesome as just exploding, but they basically use it to figure out what the death verse is for certain demons. And he gets the flashback and the whole, oh, I need to take care of myself. I need people to be good so people can rely on me. And then he uses his sort of like, showing the zombie what it looks like now, and it basically goes nuts because you get a flashback as well.
He looks almost like in his final, he looks almost like what's his name? The guy that kind of betrayed them. I totally forgot his name.
Oh yeah, Shima.
Shima,
Yeah, it
sorry.
does a little bit maybe.
Almost, just
Although
that
I
hair,
th yeah, I think aren't the families are like somewhat related or something, like all those groups, but whatever. Let's see. All right. We're moving on from there. Then Rin manages to get out, and then it turns out that Shiomi managed to save herself with the help of Nee. And she basically returned the zombie to the earth by having a massive plant grow on it. And then, let's see, yeah, everyone else manages to get out, and like Yukio's like, you're late. He's like, what? That's all you can say, you jerk. And then you've got Gedoin, who introduces himself, and then that's the chapter. So
yes, kick his butt. Kick the pig scientist's butt, please.
yeah, it was all right. I mean,
A
I'm
good
not
time.
that invested, but it was all right. All right, well, let's move on to Stealth Symphony Chapter 19. The world is a lie. And let's
And so is the
see.
cake.
Yes. And let's see, yeah, you get some. It's basically Jig continues fighting Trauma, and Trauma is like not really being able to not able to fight back very well because Jig is the great, the black dragon. And then he basically reveals that, it's not the wings' fault. I've already killed people of my own free will. He says, if I blame the wings, my feelings for Lil will become a lie because he did things for her. But at the same time, I'm just like, wait, who's Lil? I don't remember. Not
His
important.
little sister
Now that's who it
that he
was.
kept writing a letter to but never went to because it turns out she died.
Yes.
Thanks to those jerks that set her that set the orc that set the his home on fire.
Yeah, I really like the, when we how we like the way he's drawn, and when we see the seeing the background, how he basically caved their heads in. It's really creepy and works really well, but at the same time, again, this is something that doesn't work well because, you know, the series was getting low ratings because I assume because it wasn't actually letting us get to know the characters, and so we don't get proper payoff for this. But imagining what it would be like if this were at a time when we actually cared about the characters, and I sort of think, yeah, this would be pretty good, but it's not, because I don't care about the characters. But anyway, yeah, you've got trauma that continues going on about, hey, we need to be protecting Mr. Slice, you know, that's our job. And then, you know, Jig just starts transforming more, and he's pretty much going crazy and, like, destroying trauma. And then you got the orphanage director who's like, oh, yes, blast all these pests, ah, ha, ha. And then you've got, what's his face, the assassin that shows up right behind Jig.
So, yeah.
And freaking decapitates him.
So, yeah.
Again, talking about how this would be really great if I gave two shits.
Yeah.
Which I don't. So it's not as, I mean, this, imagine seeing this after, you know,
so, like 100 chapters or something, I guess.
Exactly, yeah, and ending this series like this by having the main character die in this way would be pretty intense. But at the same time, I guess maybe the only reason that they can get away with this is because we don't care about the character, so they can say, okay, well, the readers don't care about the character, so let's just do something shocking with the character since they don't care about him anyway. And all the other people...
Here's my response. So, yeah.
Yeah. All the other people seem to care, because you've got Troma and Alice and Mr. Slice and the orphanage director who are all just like, whoa. Mm-hmm. And then Alice screams no. And I'm like, why the frick do you care? It's not like the kid was part of your company. I mean, or like he was actually a friend. He was just kind of appeared, then a bunch of crap started happening. So, not sure why you care. But my guess is that he's not actually dead. There's going to be some way to keep him alive.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there. But
he's going to be like, oh, I'm like just picking my head. Yeah, oh, I mean, that was a lie. You didn't cut my head off. I'll cut your head.
Yeah, it's like this was a good chapter, but at the same time, it's a good chapter following a bunch of lousy, lackluster chapters. So at the same time, you kind of feel like, this would be good if not for these pre-existing circumstances.
Yeah,
so, you know that
we got a lot of discuss about why stuff simply went the way it did and why it should not have gone the way it did.
Well, all people need to do is just listen to our previous reviews of previous chapters, and you can kind of get the feeling how and why we started falling out of love with the series.
Yeah.
So. Yep. All right, then. Well, yeah, it went from, oh, this is pretty decent, to, oh, hey, this is okay, but not great, to, well, this is stupid.
This is crap because it's crap because it doesn't seem to give a crap, apparently.
Indeed. All right, well.
I mean, it tried to give a crap, but it couldn't give it enough of a crap.
Indeed. All right, moving on.
Let's World Trigger.
Talk about World Trigger, Chapter 66, and this has been going on for a while. Where, yep, they've got, let's see, they've got Inadora trapped inside the training room, and they're just hoping...
He's a Black Trigger guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're sort of thinking, it's like, okay, we can keep him in here as long as he doesn't notice that there's a button to let you out of the room.
Oh, the weakness right there.
And it's like, ah, that's funny. But, yeah, they're basically, you know, it's like, okay, we're going to go do our thing, and then Shinoda decides to... You know, leave everything in the hands of Director Kido and his assistant Sawamura, So it's like, I don't know. It's like Commander Kido takes command, and then Sawamura, his secretary or whatever she is, ends up. You know, she's the one that's actually going to handle things. And you got a little bit of a fun little moment between them. You know, where she says, "Be careful," and he looks back at her with a sort of almost smile. And you're sort of thinking, okay, that's good character work right there. You know, it's like you're looking at it and you're thinking that, oh, hey, these two, you know, there's more to these two characters than just what's on the surface, per se. It's more like, okay, they seem to have some kind of background history to them that is being hinted at but not shown. And so that's a good sign of what good characters are. When there's more to them than just what we've been shown in the story so far. So I kind of like that. Let's see, and then we've got the invaders, who they're talking a little more about how, hey, yeah, we're going to get them all. No, it's like, there's no need to, we're gonna finish it off, And then you've got what's his face? I forgot, the old guy with the,
Visa.
yeah, with the trigger that can blow
Yeah, Visa.
everything up. I mean,
Visa.
not blow everything up, but cut everything. And so his like, yeah, he cuts the weights off, and let's see, yeah, and then we get some more, you get more fighting, and it's quite nicely done. And it turns out that the trigger isn't a cane, it's actually a sword. So besides having all the cut
Really?
everything, he can also use the regular blade to cut. And so Yuma realizes, oh, wait a minute, you know what, Replica, you need to go protect Osamu and Chika because this guy is a decoy too. And then it turns out that yes, because all of this rabbit, the new model rabbits are showing up, and oh yeah, it's Osamu and what's his face?
I
I forget.
I think he's the leader of the Rashiyama squad.
I don't know if he's the leader, but I don't know. They're not very clear about what the relationship is
He
between those two.
looks like Jimbo with black hair problem, almost.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know. I think, yeah, I believe he was referred to as the Scruffy Hottie. So that is what he
Okay.
shall be called from now on. But yeah, so it was an all right chapter. I mean, it's got the problem of trying to focus on too much happening at once, that we don't really have any specific focus to really sink our teeth into.
Oh,
So,
the guy with Osamu, it's not that guy. Is he part of the group with Konami and the other guy?
yes.
Oh, that's Karasuma then.
Yes, Karasuma. Okay. Excellent. All right. And let's see. Let's move on to Naruto chapter 683,
Chapters, yeah.
where stuff happens. Obito wakes up and they have to explain to him the stupid plot twist that happened. I was like, did you guys take care of Madara? Well, what happened was, and you just like, they don't even bother explaining exactly what happened, but it's like so it's kind of like, yeah, we want to avoid actually having to explain this because it's so stupid. But yeah, and you end up them basically deciding, okay, she can go between dimensions. And yeah, and you also have got the let's see, you got the Kages, the Hokages that get in touch with the with Hagoromo.
Dead guys get in touch with a really dead guy.
Yeah, and so and then from there, as Obito decides, oh hey, look, let's see, so she's going between dimensions, maybe my let's see, maybe my Kamui can, hijack it and go where she is and find Sasuke, but I can go get Sasuke and get it back, and then let's see, yeah, but he'd need an enormous amount of chakra to do it since it's not his own time space. So basically, when it's his own technique, he doesn't need as much, but since in order to be able to hijack hers, he needs more chakra than he has. Or like he's like, if my chakra runs out, then I'm screwed.
You'd finally be screwed. This is how high a toll this is,
Yeah, and then it's sort of like talking about where the Naruto's like, I'll go with you, right? And he's all like, your doppelganger chakra won't be enough because he's kind of like, split up. He doesn't have all his chakra. But and then you've got Sakura's like, would my 100 healings chakra be enough? And I guess, yeah, with that technique that she unlocked, she has a great deal of chakra. Even though before it was like, wait, she's the one that doesn't have a lot of chakra. That's why she learns to do what Tsunade does, because you focus the impact more. But yeah, so it decides, yeah, that would give him the bare minimum that he needs, and I'm not sure how he's measuring this. It's like, oh, wait, are you just, what? Do you have like a number that tells you how much you need and whatnot? But Yeah, so we're given an excuse to have Sakura actually be involved, and it's kind of sad that we need an excuse. But oh well. And yeah, that's and then yeah, he basically says, "I'm gonna die for you," and that's kind of it. And if Naruto is like, "No, you shouldn't die for me," I'm gonna say like, "You freaking idiot! Wasn't your big plan to fight Sasuke and die with him? So it's okay for you to commit suicide, but not for anyone else, you stupid piece of crap."
Hippo, freaking crap, crip, hypocrite, crip, hypocrite.
Yeah, go take your Hippocratic oath. Anyway, it was an all right chapter.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, there's nothing re particularly stupid about it, but I mean, it's still an okay chapter in an overall stupid manga, so the best we can get is it wasn't awful. So,
Oh, it's snowing there. I wish it was snowing here.
oh, tell me about it. But all right, let's move on to Toriko, chapter 283, Nightmare Sacrifice, where we find out that
Holy crap, that color, the double page.
yeah, that's a big creature. Yeah, and yeah, you also
Talk about wanting to eat a horse.
yeah. Yeah, and we find out that that they have these trees, these oxygen trees that produces high quality air, and that's kind of why they have to sacrifice themselves, is to provide fertilizer for the trees. And so with the hope of being allowed to capture air, and then we find out that the reason why they have to ask the Herrick is because the deal with it is that it only eats air. Like, it can, the air is basically food for those creatures, except that the Nightmare Herrick breathes about 360 billion tons of air. And so, and it needs, and whenever it gives birth, it needs 100 times the amount of fresh air it usually needs. And so the only thing that can provide that kind of air is the air fruit that grows on the massive air tree, the air king of foods. And then as long as when that explodes, it gives the let's see, it's 100 years for one fruit to grow, a condensed ball of air, of all the air needed to cover an entire planet in atmosphere. And so that's how much air the Herrick needs.
The only reason why there hasn't been that much air is because the hare keeps eating it. Every time the air tree grows a fruit.
Yeah, well, it's not only that, but it turns out that Neo has been coming in, and the Blue Nitros have learned how to harvest the air,
Oh yeah, that too.
and that's why it's like before it ripens and falls, and so that's why there's never any air, because yeah, it's kind of yeah, so it's every time it gives birth, the Herrick gives birth to offspring that isn't as strong as it should be. But then Komatsu gets out his knife and is like, "I can hear the voice of the food," and wondering, "Oh, what's he going to do?" And
That's nice of you.
the Herrick's expression is like, "You keep that away from me." So we'll see what Komatsu is going to do.
Okay, so yeah, when I read this chapter and I read the part about how it only eats air, I'm like thinking of a certain character from another series, and I'm like
Don't you
going.
dare. Yeah, that is kind of funny. He's like, "So, what do you eat? Air? Isn't that the same as breathing?" Yeah, that, yes, I did make that connection when I was
Yeah.
thinking about it. But my theory right now is that Komatsu's, I don't know, probably not what's going to happen, but my theory is that he's going to perform a cesarean on the Herrick, which I'm just like, that would be insane, but okay. Although probably what he's going to do is something, cut something open on the tree to make it release more air. So, but yeah, it was a good chapter, because there was a lot of, exposition and explaining what was going on, but we finally get to see what air actually is, and it's actually air. And
But it looks freaking awesome.
yeah, it does. So I think what we'll, yeah, we'll kind of. Yeah, I like learning new information, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, all right, let's move on to Seraph of the End, chapter 23. I'm not gonna give any details. I mean, they go together and they're like, oh, we're gonna have breakfast together because we need to talk about something. And it's like, oh, hey, look, the girls don't know how to cook. Truly, you are a comedic master.
Well, seriously, how the heck, why the heck would you put sake in? I don't understand.
I don't know.
I
I
mean,
mean,
what is the thing with the women not being able to cook? And I mean, I know it's meant to be comedy, but like, seriously, do you really just try and put everything in your food and try and eat it? And also, who
well,
doesn't taste test their food before they even eat it?
now here's the thing is that the whole, oh, look, this girl is a bad cook. One, it's so old and so overdone that anyone doing it immediately now has to work very hard to, dispel my disdain for them. But at the same time, a lot of times when they try to explain it, it's like the level of stupidity that it requires to screw up the food this bad, it goes beyond just being stupid and goes to handicapped levels of not smart. It's like this is a level that somebody with a functioning brain that these characters are said to have cannot reach. It's like, I don't know. With this
I
one.
mean, it. I mean, from another certain series I used to watch, where the character kind of burns the juice, but that's all it's mentioned. But why is the juice burned? That's it. That's all we need to know. We don't need to know how it happened. We just need to know that it's burned. This one, we don't need to see it being on fire.
Yeah, I mean, it does explain where Mitsu's like, hey, was like, I heard that. I read that adding sake makes stuff taste better, and then you kind of skip forward, and then, it's like if you pour sake on stuff and light it, it should taste better. That's what the book said. So it's not like she was, she read a cooking technique and decided to try it. I mean, it doesn't make sense for an omelet. And at the same time, it's like, wait, why are you panicking? There's, of course, it's burning. You did that on, you set it on fire on purpose. So I don't know, it's just but the part where that you would as a beginner would think to try to do a flambé is just ridiculous. And of course I can appreciate Kimizuki saying as like, oh no, I'm not good at this. Those two are just utterly incompetent. Which yes they are.
Thank goodness for
So I don't know.
clarifying that.
I mean, okay, out of all the oh look, this girl doesn't cook well, out of all the series that try that joke, this one makes at least makes sense. You can see a logical thought progression of, oh hey, here's this fact that I read, I'm gonna try it, and then it doesn't work out because she wasn't
Yes.
ready for it. So that makes sense. But the ones where they're like, oh hey, look, we're gonna put this and this in our in our curry like they did in Persona 4, where it's just like, okay, look, no, that's a level of dumb that you two have not shown to be in the past.
Or what Akane did in the
Ranma
mountain
have.
training.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that as well, somewhat, but at the same time, that one is an old enough series that I can forgive it. But it's all the series that keep doing it now that is just kind of tiresome. And
Well, there are
also,
people who are just bad cooks.
well, yeah, obviously, but I mean, it's always the joke is, oh, look, this girl can't cook. That's
Yeah.
always the joke, and because the assumption is, oh, good girls need to know how to cook. Which is a social assumption that is a little bit on the sexist side, you know?
Well, just so it helps, when the part where Kimizuki said those who are just already incompetent, the speech bubble literally stabbed them through the head.
Which was kind of funny, but
That is funny. I didn't notice that until now. I was like, whoa.
yeah, but at the same time, I'd rather not bring this joke up again because it really is just, I don't know. Sometimes some series can make it work. I can somewhat forgive Nisekoi for it, but at the same time, it annoys me when they do it. But I don't know. Just the more I see this joke, the more I think, is there no originality in any of you? I mean, the whole joke is, oh, hey, look, this girl who is like, this girl, she is a girl. Girls are supposed to be good cooks, but she's not a good cook. Is like, seriously?
I can imagine all these cooking manga characters just looking at it and going, no, not no.
Yeah, I mean, you know what would be really funny if it was a guy that was going on about how good a cook he is, and then the punchline is he's actually an awful cook. You know, like maybe this guy that he's so good at cooking that, or he's so good at, you know, laying out the food and presenting it and making it look good, but then it turns out it actually tastes awful. Kind of like with Onodera, except it's a guy. And, you know, I mean, on its surface, a guy not being able to cook wouldn't work as well because, you know, the assumption is, well, it's a guy. Of course, you know, guys don't normally cook, is the general assumption that is made. But if you add on to that by building up the assumption of, oh, hey, he can cook because he says he can cook, but then the joke is he's actually awful, that would work, and that would be a new twist on the whole thing. But
Okay, let's move on to the cooking thing and then do the actual chapter.
And then we move on to the gay joke.
Where
Shinoa is like, oh, hey, Kimizuki swings that way, and everyone believes her and is shocked. And I'm like,
why are you blushing, Yuichi?
It's just more, I don't know, it's like within several pages of each other, we have some massively prejudiced jokes right there.
Yeah.
Which is problematic. Maybe if I liked this series, I might, you know, ignore it, because I'm not gonna lie, I do that sometimes. If I see a series that I like and they have a joke like that and I'm just thinking, you know what, not worth thinking about. But unfortunately, when it is a series that I hate and I see the obsessive use of sexist and whatnot jokes, suddenly I'm just thinking, okay, that's not cool. Because, you know,
especially
it's like,
when it's being read by other people over outside the country.
It is very weird because it's like, I don't know, it just feels so primitive, you know? Like, this is a joke that was okay like 20 years ago, but now it's just, it just feels wrong to have the characters react like that and very insensitive, ultimately. And I mean, it's just not funny because it's the same kind of joke that you've seen so many times and it's just not actually funny anymore. You know, it's just...
That's the time for changing.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like the writer just looked up, oh, what is humor, and found the worst jokes on the internet. It's like, we make fun of how girls can't cook, because they supposed to cook. No, men don't cook. Oh, look, man cook. Me make gay joke. And now I've been offensive to cavemen.
Well, I actually found a site called worstjokes.com.
Is one of them making a joke, saying someone's gay, but they're not actually, and everyone reacts all shocked.
I didn't bother clicking on it. Yeah, I just see it.
Lovely. All right. Well, anyway, so they basically bring out, hey, this is what happened. Gurren is, you know, experimenting on you, and you almost killed me. And so, you know, it's not like they're all, oh, hey, let's keep this a secret. It's actually, let's actually, you know, bring it out in the open, which that I can appreciate, you know, the whole, let's not keep it a secret for no reason, but actually, you know, talk about it. But, and then you've got Gurren and What's-His-Face, and they're talking about, hey, our plan is we're going to lure out the vampire lords and kill them one by one.
Kureto, by the way. His name's Kureto.
Yeah.
The jerk.
Yeah.
Guy.
Well, not like I care. But, yeah, so, and it's basically then afterwards, it's like, oh, after we've destroyed the vampires, now we're going to, you know, destroy all the other vampires, and we're going to, you know, find all the other surviving human organizations and crush them. And I'm just like, you are...
What?
It's like, you're an idiot.
You are an idiot, sir.
It's like, humanity is basically close to being extinct, and your goal is to try and... is, you know, to try and make Japan ruler of the world by attacking and killing the other humans until they surrender. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
That's like saying you're king and then ordering all your servants to be killed. And then you're like, where are my servants? Oh, gee, I wonder if I'm all your servants.
No, not even that. It's just stupid. Your plan is, first you're going to destroy the vampires, and then you're going to, endanger humanity by fighting all the other lands. And you just kind of have to wonder, how does he think this would possibly work? Because think of it logically. Okay, any other existing human organization exists because they can fight back against the vampires. So they have something that allows them to fight back against the vampires. If it allows them to fight back against the vampires, ergo, it will allow them to fight against someone that has something else that allows them to fight up against the vampires. Say, for example, the U.S. decides, hey, we've developed Iron Man armor, and we're using that to fight the vampires. Then these twits come in with these swords and demons, and like, we fight vampires too, so we will fight you, and then their aerial bombardment or something. I don't know. It's just assume that, and that's, that's assuming that they don't have the exact same weapons, but any existing humans would have to have something that gives them an edge over the vampires, and if it gives them an edge over the vampires, it'll give them an edge over the people that have an edge against the vampires.
So,
as far as weapons go, they're probably about equal. So now let's just assume, okay, you've got Japan, small island. Well, big island, but small in terms of something of a nation that you would consider not to be an island. Mm. They're a big island, but at the same time, they're not nearly the size of any of the mainland continents. So already there's very few humans in Japan. And now they want to declare war on other countries. Now, let's say, for example, they decide, hey, we're going to go for America first, okay? America would have to be depopulated to the point that the amount of people that they have is equal to what's in Japan for Japan to have any kind of a chance here to take them over. And then you start thinking, okay, but, you know, America's a very big country. What about if they, you know, they decide, hey, let's go to, there's multiple areas that survive. Let's say if there's just one, the average U.S. state is massively larger than Japan. Imagine that they survived in the same amount that they survived in Japan per state. Mm-hmm. As much as, say, Texans hate New Yorkers or whatnot, I'm pretty sure that even if they were all antagonistic towards each other, the North, East, South, and West, and possibly even Canada in the North America would say, hey, wait a minute, we don't like these foreign invaders, let's all join together to crush them. And then Japan, and then the Japanese Imperial Demon Army would be absolutely destroyed.
Yep.
And I mean, anywhere they try to go, if they try to go for China, they're probably going to get their butts kicked. If they try to go for, because it just comes down to a matter, ultimately, I guess the idea that we're supposed to take is that they have better technology, because they certainly don't have the manpower. Mm-hmm. There's no way they have it. They've never had the manpower, but somehow they still manage to, cause a lot of trouble in Southeast Asia back before and during World War II. But at the same time, you're kind of thinking, okay, but look, in the end, you didn't win. So I don't see how you could possibly think that you could take on the entire world with your manpower severely reduced. Really.
That's why I call him an idiot, Gretel.
And of course, Gurren says, that sounds like something a little kid would dream up. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
A little kid that doesn't realize that the other countries wouldn't take that standing down, and that you're not some special little snowflake that has greater powers than the rest of the world. Because, if we're really making this an international series, then you have to assume that if you make it similar to the real world, the Japan of this world is no more special than the Japan of the real world, which it is as good or bad as any other country in the world, ultimately. So if you apply that to this manga's world, that means that, not a chance. But I also have to say, if we apply real world personalities and, country traits to the countries in this manga's world, then I would really, really like to see how exactly the Japanese Imperial Demon Army expects to be more powerful than the country that has this horribly bad habit of spending all its money on its military. I am, of course, speaking to the U.S. about the U.S.
Okay. Can we move on? I think everybody gets what you're talking about.
Emma.
I will side with Gurren if that's the case. I'm not sure if he agrees with it, but I'm sure you're like, nah, I don't gonna do that shit.
Yeah, it's a stupid plan, and this manga is stupid. But it is kind of clever that they're sending kids in to do spying. But at the same time, I'm like, oh hey, look at that! The humans are basically sending the kids in for what amounts to prostitution. Lovely. I do not like these people. I do not like this manga. This manga can burn in hell as far as I'm concerned. And even the talk about family is important. You don't betray family just because they betray you. I'm like, you know what? Screw you.
Wait. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'm just like, this manga is stupid and I hate it. Moving on. Let's see. The next bit that we have is, Shokugeki no Soma.
Oh, yes. I totally forgot Seraphine was the end of the digital part.
Yes, it was. All right, let me pull it up. 1 minute.
Yeah, there's no new Assassination Classroom right now.
Which is a shame, but whatever. Which chapter of Shokugeki no Soma are
76.
We 76?
Yeah.
Stomach. All right, so in this chapter, Mo, what happens?
So basically... This time the next duel will be between Takumi and Mimasaka, Takumi Aldini and Mimasaka Subaru. And the interesting thing about this one is that it's going to be a Shokugeki. Huh. We haven't had a Shokugeki in a while now, have we?
No, we haven't. It's been
but,
a while.
But this time the Shokugeki is going to be, it's going to involve pretty much betting one's tool. That's Mimasaka type of Shokugeki.
Yeah, and, it's like you lose, you give up your favorite tool on, so...
In a sense, this chapter pretty much just showed how despicable this guy can be. And I was like, my first time, I was like, he's okay. And then it showed, and then at the end of that one chapter, when it showed, I was like, I don't like this guy anymore. And it just made him look worse. So I'm like, oh my god, this guy's about as bad as, dare I say, Blackbeard.
Yeah. You
know, he seems cool in the beginning, but then he has this side of him that you just don't like.
Well, yeah.
You just want to hate this guy.
Yeah. Also worth pointing out is there's two colors. Well, one color page and one color spread. The color page doesn't make any sense because it's what's her face, just laying on her back with her scanty bikini top as she usually does. And I'm looking at that and I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. This is weird.
Why are you even mentioning it? I don't even care about that.
Because it happened.
What?
Mm-hmm. Because it happened, and thus it was mentionable.
Oh, yeah. So when I mention something, you say it's not allowed, but you mention it's allowed, huh?
Welcome to the advantage of me doing all the work, therefore I'm in charge.
What the...
No, but yeah, the chapter itself was... I really like what they're doing with this character, because... They show him off as this rough looking guy, but then it shows off, oh hey look, but he's actually, you know, he's also got some softer sides to him, or he's more, you know, conscientious and whatnot. But then you find out, no, he's an absolute ass twat.
Yeah. We're talking about Subaru, right?
Yeah. Where you're just like, oh wow, it's like he's been properly developed from, oh, look at this guy, he looks he looks all rough and grr and everything, but oh no.
Even Aizen says he's a complete tool, he's a complete garbage.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, yeah, it is very interesting where it's like, you know, we get our first impression, that first impression is challenged, but then we find out, no, that first impression is actually pretty close to accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, and...
There's that one page in the panel where someone's like, so that big guy is really attached to this talking metal, and then there's that image, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That was
Senpai, please know me. No, don't know the MSR.
Yeah.
If you know him, we'll probably stop.
Yeah, and everyone's like, whoa, wow, he's a massive stalker. But
oh boy.
Yeah, this was a good chapter. I mean, it does a really good job of, you know, setting up the antagonist of this little storyline. So I quite enjoyed it.
I totally like the part where Takumi was when it went over like when he threw the glove on the ground. Like, holy crap, things just got serious. And then there was a little explanation about the whole throwing the glove on the ground as like a way of you throw the white glove at your opponent's feet and he picks up, it becomes proof that he accepts the battle. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, although I would have liked if they'd have done it like Robin Hood Men in Tights, where after the glove slap, he like picks up a gauntlet and is like, bam! It was awesome. Yeah, so it,
I remember that.
Yeah, it was a good, this was a really good chapter, and this story is a lot more interesting than the previous matches that we've had. Just because it's, you know, it takes the, oh, hey, look, this is just another fight, you know, another competition. But at the same time, it's like, no, it's not just another, you know, it's not just another competition. It's actually, there's more at stake here, which makes it a lot more interesting. And, yeah.
Takumi basically bet that Mezzaluna, the that special knife of his, in order to beat Subaru.
Yeah. I quite enjoyed it. It was a great chapter overall, I must say.
There's just one thing that bothered me, though. I mean, it's a panel that nobody really knows, but the part where the so-called Takumi fans appear, I'm like, I just don't, you know, when people cheer in a competition, especially when the character isn't the main character, it feels like it's a lose by coming up for this character. It's like they cheer so hard and oh no, they lost. It's like the author saying, "Could you guys shut up?" I'm like, why you do that in the first place, man? I mean, it just makes me feel uneasy. Plus, it doesn't help that looks like Subaru's picking up the same ingredients as Takumi. I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah, it's very much, oh, this isn't good for him.
He's a mime. That's even worse.
Yeah.
I just copy everything. Mm.
Yes. All right. Well, let's, oh, what the heck's going on here? Second, like I'm trying to get Fairy Tail up, but the Crunchyroll app is being stupid. Come on.
Well,
all right.
I'd say the title then. Fairy Tail Chapter 391, Gray versus Silver.
Indeed. And I will pull up the bloody chapter. Jeez,
do we call him Silver Delior or do we call him Silviora? I'm calling him Silviora.
That sounds like a pairing. Don't do that.
I'm sorry. But they're, one is dead and the other, okay, fine.
Oh, I didn't know Shin-Chan was on this app. It's been a while since I last looked. That's cool. All right, why am I, okay, this is weird. I don't know why my favorites are showing up.
Okay, can I just go over it a bit before you get into it so we don't keep the silence going?
Yeah, anyway, go for it.
We continue with the Gray versus Deliora fight.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, if for those who didn't remember that Silver, or Deliora, is an Ice Devil Slayer.
Yeah.
Because he ate Gray's eyes.
Yeah, what I thought was really hilarious about that, where it's like, oh yeah, I decided, you know what? I hate and all of Ur's disciples use ice, so I'm going to use ice. I'm going to learn Ice Slayer magic quick. And I'm just like, wait, what?
Yes.
What?
He does it to spite you, Gray and Leon.
Yeah, it's like, okay, that's weird.
He's also a demon, so, you know, demons have that damn freaking cheating aspect to it, I guess.
Yeah, and you also get Gray, it's basically focused on Gray. You get a little bit of the necromancer taunting Juvia, and Juvia's all, why would, you know, you become a demon slayer? It's like, I don't know, power check or something? And then Gray gets slashed by this ice ability that looks really painful. Mm-hmm. Like, it's got all these ice, this ice growing from his body, and yeah, when he uses, when he uses the cannon and shoots rubble at him, I was like, oh, that's cool. But then Silver covers everything in ice. He's like, haha, you can't do anything. You have nothing to attack me with. And he's like, I'm just going to do what I did in the Village of the Sun, channel your ice and attack you, because you can't eat your own ice. But then it turns out, except I learned the OP magic, so that means, you know, ice isn't gonna hurt me. So you're like, uh-oh. And the comment is like the little chapter blurbs are basically, hinting at Gray using his about how Gray is going to use his what was it, iced shell. Just sitting here, I was like, yeah, that's totally gonna happen. But
yeah. I just shut no eats it. Like I was eating instead.
Yeah.
So basically, I know it's been pretty obvious, but I just wanted to clarify because I've only seen Dragon Slayer eat their own element, but I've never seen other. Okay, and yeah, God Slayer.
Well, we
Devil Slayers can do the same.
I mean, obviously, I guess it's basically just, you know, you've got these certain Slayer types, which, you know. But the thing that doesn't make sense is that with dragons, as we were discussing when we were reviewing the latest volume, with dragons, it's that it doesn't matter how powerful mage you are, you can't hurt a dragon. It has to be Dragon Slayer magic. Therefore, that suggests that if a certain type of Slayer magic exists, it must exist because the creature that it is the Slayer type for cannot be harmed by any other means. With dragons, okay, that's been established. With gods, it makes sense because gods are kind of, by definition, the most powerful anything, and therefore a regular human would not be able to harm one, and therefore you'd need a special Slayer type magic, which that makes sense. The problem with the Demon Slayers is that they're doing just fine without Demon Slayer magic, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the regular humans are able to defeat the Demon Slayers, the demons, which means why would you need a Demon Slayer magic? Is it just, I mean, is this just a case where demons...
Delior is just being a freaking prick. That's what he's doing. He's just being a freaking prick.
Well, I mean, without a doubt, it's terrible writing is what it is.
Oh.
You know, where it's like, oh, use all the Demon Slayers, which is stupid, but use all the Slayer types, but at the same time I can kind of justify it in that it still does somewhat make sense if you take into consideration that, okay, maybe these creatures, you know, aren't invincible against other types of magic because of what they are, but rather they're very powerful, hard to destroy, and the Slayer type magic is just there to make it easier, you know? Yeah. It's not like you have to have the Slayer type magic to be able to defeat them, there's nothing else that can do it. Rather, it's, you know, they're more powerful than humans on average, but a powerful human can still destroy them, but a Demon Slayer would be more powerful and therefore more able to destroy them more easily with their Demon Slayer magic, as opposed to dragons who are invincible unless you are a Dragon Slayer, or as we assume, gods who are invincible unless you're a God Slayer.
So in other words, bad writing?
Pretty much. It's the introduction of any other Slayer besides Dragon Slayers is stupid. But
yeah,
it can kind of work for me as long as there are more than just three types of Slayers. I mean, it's never been introduced, so suddenly having it be introduced is ridiculous, but...
Robot Slayer...
Don't you dare. No, it's more along the lines of, okay, if we're going this route, it's not just Dragon Slayers, rather there's multiple different kinds of Slayer magics. But what's weird about it is that it seems like, oh, hey, it's easier to learn Demon Slayer magic, which can still work if you assume that you've got, okay, Dragon Slayer magic can only be taught by dragons. God Slayer magic, I don't know. Demon Slayer magic, it would make sense that it's easier to learn because it's not as necessary, you know?
Yeah.
Where dragons, you can only fight a dragon with Dragon Slayer magic, harder to learn. Gods, you can only fight them with God Slayer magic, harder to learn. Demons can be fought in other ways, but Demon Slayer magic makes it easy. Ergo, Demon Slayer magic is easier to learn. You know what I'm saying? Is my assumption, but I'm reading into this way more than I need to, and honestly, it would have been better for the story if he had just stuck with Dragon Slayer magic and let that be it. But if we're going to go the route of there's more than one kind of Slayer magic, then at least let there be more Slayer magic.
And make a mention of, hey, there's nothing more just Dragon Slayer magic. You're not the special one around here.
Yeah, and it would
Dragon Neil.
Yeah, and it would also make sense if, you had someone that learns more than one kind of slayer magic, but we'll see. Maybe someone that's like, I'm a god, dragon, and demon slayer.
Also, you mean like all slayer magic? No, that's just too... No, yeah. That's just unright.
I would laugh if it turns out that there's a human slayer magic. Where it's like, that doesn't seem... It's like, yeah, it's called regular magic.
Human slayer uses human magic. What the...
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, let's move on to Seven Deadly Sins, chapter 84, where we get a full page of Merlin, and yeah.
The outfit?
Yeah, the classical Merlin ain't got nothing on her, where it's like, she basically wears, she's not even really wearing short shorts, it's more like just a thin strip of fabric that happens to be connected the front and back between her legs. But other than that, you're just like, that doesn't look like it'd cover anything. And in fact, it barely covers anything, as you see the way it's drawn, is that just the way it's drawn makes it look like she is constantly in danger of suddenly popping out, which makes this outfit absolutely ridiculous. But then I was complaining about Rebecca's outfit and how it didn't make sense that the metal bikini would stay closed because it doesn't have anything connecting it. But at least at the same time, the way it's designed is that, okay, maybe it just is so perfectly form-fitted that they fit in perfectly and that therefore it stays in place. This, unless they have sticky tape, double-sided sticky tape, in this world, makes absolutely no sense, because it is literally just a coat that covers her breasts.
The twist is, there's no such thing as tape in that world.
Yeah, and it's like, it's not even a full coat. It's more like, not like, you know, it's a full coat where it's like, you know, how that where Uncle in Naruto would wear a coat that covers most, that, you know, covers her chest, because it's just a coat, and that's the way a coat sits. In this one, it covers her chest, and then the fabric goes around back and becomes these, like, tails, which the way fabric works with how that is tailored would mean that the majority of the mass isn't hanging down and thereby having the top hang down and cover the chest. Rather, it would cause everything to be pulled back. And so the fact that her outfit continues to cover her makes absolutely no sense, except magic.
How it stays, yeah, it's probably magic.
I'm pretty sure she uses magic, and that seems like such a waste. Now, just...
It'd be funny if she just had a bad sense of fashion taste.
Yeah. Now, what... Honestly, I don't see how she's not the sin of lust, but okay then.
Gluttony.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing, is like, she's the sin of gluttony, and yet at the same time, she's like rail thin, basically. It doesn't make sense, but I'm sure, but as we know with, you know, King, his greed is like, you know, his gluttony was, no, he wasn't gluttony. Yeah, King? He was gluttony. Like,
wait,
his,
King, wait, what?
Yeah, King is gluttony, isn't he?
He's gluttony too? Wait, why are there two gluttony?
Sorry, wait, no, wait, no.
Oh, he's not running,
wait, what was King's? Pride? No, I know. Bon is greed.
Okay, Bon is greed, Milios is wrath, Diane is envy.
Envy, uh-huh.
The last one who's yet to appear
sloth.
Oh,
sloth.
Yeah, he's Sloth, poor him.
Yeah, okay, that's what it was. Jeez, what it was. Sorry, but yeah. Nonetheless, now just imagine how ridiculous this outfit would be if Merlin was built more like Diane, by which I mean not being a giant, but just she had a bigger chest. And then this outfit would be like, this makes absolutely no freaking sense.
Japan, stop being pervert, please.
I know, you're making us sound like perverts because we obsess over how this makes no freaking sense.
No, you're the one obsessing over how it makes no freaking sense. I'm just freaking what?
Because I like the world to make sense. The only thing that I can see, the only way that I can see this working is the fact that she is not very busty, therefore gravity has less of an impact in this equation. If she had a bigger chest, like say for Diane, gravity would have something to say, and thereby there would be extra forces working against keeping that outfit closed.
Yeah.
But anyway, moving on. You have everyone's like, oh, hey, you were with. It's like, where have you been? You've been with King Arthur this entire time? And then what's. I don't know. Her character design is just weird because from front on, you're like, okay, small chest. From side on, you're like, hey, where'd that cleavage come from? This makes no freaking sense. But yeah. Anyway, jeez. This is really making me sound bad. I can't help it. It's just.
Well,
What is with
okay.
this character design?
There's a panel where just shows Elizabeth and the king, and then there's a panel right below a show of Merlin's. Wait, is that the Merlin or butt? Like,
Was it a butt? I think, was that the one you're talking about?
no, it wasn't butt. It's like there. It's Merlin. I think yeah, it's Merlin.
Well,
So.
anyway, before we get there, let's see. You do have Meliodas is like, hey, there's a lot I want to ask you about because it seems like, there was someone that betrayed him in the past, and he's probably thinking, okay, was it you? But yeah, so they teleport to the door, and let's see. I like the one when they teleport, and then Arthur is just looking around, is like, wait, what's going on here? And then she explains the magic and how, there's no way you can, there's no way you can get through it. The only one it rejects entry to anyone but the caster of the spell. And I do like how when they find Slater, is like, we're pathetic. We can't bust down one little door. Go ahead and laugh at us, Gowther. And Gowther's just like, wah ha 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 ha. And they're just like, this isn't funny. Yeah, and so let's see. Yeah, and you have that one panel where it's Meliodas is like, okay, everyone, stand back. And then the absolutely essential shot of Merlin from behind us. She says, even your power can't break this barrier. And I'm just like, oh, good Lord, somebody get this woman some pants. I can see her ass crack and
It looks
the
weird. It looks
bottom
like it's the
crack.
king instead because right above that panel, right above is like the king's head is positioned right above her body. I'm like, what the heck is going on
He's
here?
like, oh yes, I have a fine ass. Whoa. It's like, what the crap
Oh,
is
wait, that's
this?
an ass. I can. Oh my goodness.
Did you
Why am
think
I
that was
so
this funny?
blind here?
I don't know why, but yeah, and then of course Merlin opens it up completely. And all she has to do is just like, wait, how did you break it? It's like, oh, I just erased it. And you got Vivian's like, that's cheating, which is hilarious. And then of course, once Elizabeth and Meliodas are reunited, he starts comforting her by groping her. And I do appreciate that you've got the king is starting to get pissed at him. And he's like hugging you. He's like, oh, there, grope, grope. He's like, hey! Yeah, and then of course you. I don't even get it any. I don't even get it. It's so bizarre. Like, you've. As they're all talking, and she's like, oh, hey, everyone's fine. You've got Meliodas just behind her, like, lifting up her skirt and looking at her panties so nonchalantly. And I'm just like, this doesn't make any sense. This is the one thing about this series I can't stand. It doesn't make. It's like. He only ever does that to her, but why? I mean, in the past, he's said. Oh hey, I'm not, I can't do this to some, I can't do this to someone that I care about when Diane was angry because he refused to grope her, which is like, oh Lord. And then Elizabeth is like, wait, he doesn't actually care about me, and that's why he's groping me. Is like, oh gee, what gave you the hint? So it's really weird, but then, and it's so weird how she's just gotten to the point where she's just ignoring it, and he's like behind her and just groping her, and the king is like, knock that off. And it really makes this part of the chapter really uncomfortable, in that it's meant to be funny, but it's just not funny. But
You mean the little gag with Meliodas?
Constantly groping
Yeah, I
and
don't
looking.
really. I stopped paying attention, and then eventually the king was like, "Hey," I'm like, "Oh, yes, someone pays attention to it."
Yeah,
Saying
everyone
that,
else is ignoring it, and the king's like, "Will you stop that?" But.
I'm the king. That's my daughter you're grooming. Is she blood related?
Yes, but
No,
anyway,
she isn't actually, isn't she?
I think she is. I don't know.
Elizabeth. No, I don't think she is. I remember she said there was something said about that. I was like,
Well, until you can find where it is, I'm assuming that's not the case, because it
fine.
makes no sense. But anyway, let's see. Yeah, so they have the confrontation with Dreyfus. Yeah, where the six of the seven deadly sins. Well, actually, no, wait, where's Bon? Bon isn't there, is he? No, he isn't. Okay, so the five.
Yeah, Bond is still wherever he is, I forget.
Yeah, the five of the seven deadly sins is like, so, why'd you frame us? And he's all like, what? You're the criminals, blah, blah, blah. You know, you killed him, and then. Yeah, and then, what's her face? Margaret, yeah. Is all, hey, I actually saw you kill your brother. And what's really weird is that you see him and Hendrickson having killed Zoratris. And what doesn't make any sense is you've got Hendrickson seems to be having the emotional breakdown while Dreyfus is comforting him, which I'm just like, wait, that doesn't make any sense. It's like, well, wouldn't he be the one that's having a breakdown because it was his brother that they killed and he's obviously guilty about it? And yeah, so, and you do kind of like, man, you've got Gowther who'd seen it all basically in his mind, and they all poisoned him and then killed him. And then, yeah, then it turns out that Dreyfus is all, I admit it, I did it. And then it's kind of weird, is like, I guess, I don't know, it's kind of weird. It's like they're trying to pull off as like, oh, he's still sympathetic because his son was, you know, in danger because Hendrickson became more evil, but at the same time, you still killed your brother, you know? So, and it looks like it was pretty, you know, let's see, yeah, Dreyfus was envious of his older brother Zoratris. At his direction, Hendrickson poisoned him, and in his weakened state, they killed him together. And so it's like Hendrickson did it because Dreyfus said, do it. And so it's like, no, he's pretty, you know, he's pretty guilty there. And so I don't see why they're trying to make him come off as more sympathetic because, you know, as he finds out, he's like, oh, he was like, Hendrickson killed my son. And he was like, I don't know how this happened. I just wanted to be a father my son could be proud of. And he's like, if you deliberately poisoned him, or maybe his goal was, hey, we're not going, you know, I'm going to poison him and then have him be, you know, have him just be sick and take his place, but then Hendrickson killed him. But I don't know, it's very confusing and doesn't make much sense as to who is actually the bad guy here. But he does find, but Dreyfus does find out that Grimoire is still alive. And it's like, yeah, the matter is settled. And I'm just like, no, it isn't. He deliberately murdered his older brother. That's kind of whatever. But and then we find out that Hendrickson is still alive, and he looks different.
Oh, yeah, so we get to see how Vivian looks, too.
Yeah, she... not her best, she's not looking her best, I must say, because she's kind of sobbing and has snot running down her face, which is kind of hilarious. But, yeah, and also, yeah, it looks like Hendrickson had time to shave and get a new haircut, and one of his eyes looks different, and now he's like, oh, is he some kind of demon now? I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah, so it was a good chapter, but at the same time, it is also kind of confusing with the whole who's actually the bad guy and who isn't and all that. You know what I mean? Makes it hard to know who we're actually meant to, you know, whether we're actually meant to think that it's touching that he, you know, that... You know, he didn't actually mean to kill his brother or something. I don't know. It's weird. But still, good chapter.
It was alright, but yeah, like you said, some bits it just made me just go, what?
Yeah, definitely. Alright, let's talk about... Okay, oh, jeez. See, we need to talk about Attack on Titan, chapter 59.
Yes.
Okay, this one I'm not even going to bother going through all the way. Just kind of a quick recap, so... turns out that Jean is still alive because the person that was going to shoot him hesitated, and so Armin shoots her. And they do this really well where it's, you know, hiding the fact of what actually happened until right at the very end where we find out what actually happened, you know? And then, of course, they decide, okay, we're going to capture some military police and... you know, infiltrate the military police to figure out what's going on. And it's those two comrades of Annie's what were their faces again?
I don't remember who they were. Oh, yeah, one was named Marlo and the other one was named Hitch.
Yeah, and so they kind of get captured and they're, you know, and Marlo is like, hey, I want to help you because my goal is I want to, you know, deal with the corruption of the, of the military police and all that. And so he ends up, Jean ends up testing him and saying, hey, you know what, I'll give you a chance. I'll accidentally lose my knife after saying I'm going to, you know, kill you, and then give you a chance. Okay, if you trust me enough, you know, then put the knife down. And then it works, and then Marlo, and it turns out Hitch, I guess, is helping them as well. So they're infiltrating rather than them stealing their uniforms. And I don't see how they could have possibly thought that Mikasa and Armin would be a good idea to infiltrate, because pretty sure that they would recognize them real quick.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, and so, and then yeah, I mean it answers the big question that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And it does so in quite an excellent way, I must add. You know,
like, oh, you mean the part where we thought Jean probably got killed or something?
Rather than it being all, oh, did he actually die? I don't know. Well, actually, it did exactly do that. It's like, oh, what could have possibly happened by, you know, showing Armin is sick. Okay, he could be sick maybe because Jean is dead, and then you know. They hide the fact that it's Jean that's taking over for Mikasa in watch duty. And they do so by, you know, they hide the fact that it's him so that when it reveals that, oh, hey, he's still alive, so what happened? And then we see that what happened, and the reason that Armin is outside throwing up is because he just shot a woman.
And well, he shot her in the face.
Yeah, and he's also thinking, he's like, wait a minute, there's no way I could have gotten my gun out first and won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh yeah, I know that it's like, you know, it was like she already had her gun out. So she must have hesitated, right? So if she hesitated, that means she didn't want to kill you. That means, or why did she hesitate? Was it because she didn't want to kill you? That means she's a better person than me who didn't hesitate at all. And I was like, and then you've got Levi who does his, hey, you know, you know, you're smart. You did what had to happen for the greater good, basically. So, I thought that was really well put together. You know, the way it, you know, the whole conflict of, you know, how hard it is to kill humans. I think that's what really works for me with this, is that you've got these, you know, you've got a lot of times the series uses the Titans to show how, yeah, humans aren't going to want to go into a, traumatic situation over and over, because they're, you know, that's not, you know, it's, you know, they're not as mentally strong, so if faced by something horrifying like Titans, they go crazy. And there's also, now it's bringing in the fact that, hey, humans do not like killing other humans. If you do like it, there's something wrong with you.
There's something really wrong with you. You like killing other humans.
Exactly.
Oh, so you like killing animals. I don't like killing animals either.
Yeah.
But you like killing dead animals. Dead animals dead. What do you mean talking about killing the dead animal?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
And then they come with more excuses like, oh, so you like eating dead animals after they're cooked?
Yes, yes,
purified and salted, and yes, I do, because I need to stay alive. I'm sorry. I just wanted to play the part of the person who just keeps coming with excuses so I can tell them to shut up. Before it even comes up.
I have no idea what that has to do
with. But yes, if you like killing humans, there's something wrong with you. Seriously wrong with you. Go see a therapist. Go see a psychologist. Go see both at once.
Yes. Thank you for getting back to the original point after your detour that made absolutely no freaking sense.
No, it made sense.
No, it didn't. But like I said, it does bring up the idea that, you know, killing people, it's kind of a big deal. It's not easy to do. So I like the realistic portrayal in this series for that. But all right, did you have anything else you wanted to add about the series?
They get a new ally in Marlo, and okay, the part where they were mentioning, yeah, basically this time we're talking about like the whole humanity thing about, you know, like, is it right to, you know, kill the human? And they would say, hey, you gotta do what you have to do.
Pretty much us.
I mean, what if that woman, that girl, was not actually, well, that girl, it wasn't that girl, well, someone else was like, I'm gonna pull the trigger. Well, and you would be dead.
Yes, indeed. Let's see.
But either way, character development for Armin, and Jean, too. Hmm. And everyone else.
Yes.
But I'm sure many people would like to ask this one question. Can we get back to the Titans?
That would be
I'm saying,
nice.
yeah, but I'm gonna say first save Aaron and Historia. Don't take too dang long, please. And then get back to the Titans and get back to the dang basement, please. You know, the king.
Yeah.
Aaron Han.
Yeah, I
Please.
am. Yeah, I did like this chapter more than I've liked previous chapters, just because it was very well written and put together, I
It was,
felt.
but the
Yeah.
problem is my hopes were too high that I didn't feel it was good enough for me.
Yep, but all right. Let's see. Interesting. All right,
So
well.
yes, the chapter title, when I saw, I was thinking that one series by Mashima, and I was like, huh, what the heck? You know, Monster Soul.
Yeah. Well, time to let's see. Yeah. I think that wraps us up. Let's go ahead. That finishes up the manga chapter. So let's go ahead and wrap things up.
Yes, let's do so.
Yes. All right. This has been Manga Cubed episode 104 for the week of July 7th, 2014. This week we went over Nisekoi Volume 4 and Ranma ½ Volumes 5 and 6 Omnibus. We also discussed the most recent chapters. And now it is time for us to wrap things up, starting with the author comments. Nisekoi's Naoshi Komi, I participated in a Nisekoi anime event. I didn't know they were so amazing. I was moved.
Oh, was it any anime or oh, anime? Sorry. Which is Tite Kubo. My living room clock broke, but I've been making do instead of buying a new one. I did not read that one before, actually. I just read it right now.
Yes. Yep, and alright, One Piece's Eiichiro Oda. I went to Hayao Miyazaki's Nutcracker and the Mouse King exhibit. I was so happy to see new art and be taken into a new world.
Blue Exorcist Kazue Kato, my apologies for suddenly having to take the time off last month. Volume 13 is out in Japan.
Indeed. Alright, Stealth Symphony's Yoichi Amano. I've been preparing for a while to draw this week's dramatic chapter, but it still affected me while I did it.
World Trigger's Daisuke Ashihara. Sorry for being off a few weeks ago. I should be over the work rush. I'm doing my best.
Yes. Naruto's Masashi Kishimoto. After all these years, my assistants and I debated the important moral dilemma. Would you rather eat poop-flavored curry or curry-flavored poop?
I would rather eat sand, thank you very much.
Interesting thought, but at the same time, I'm like, okay, that is actually a valid question.
Either way, it's poop. I'm not touching it with a 10 foot pole, a million foot pole, or even the universe, or the galaxy even. Wait, the universe is bigger than the galaxy. I'm not touching with a universe sized pole in the first place anyway. Anyways, Toriko Mitsutoshi Shimbukuro. Good effort in the World Cup Japan. It hurts to lose, but the Central and South American teams were too good this year.
Suck it, Brazil.
Dude. Cool it, okay? Just cool it. I understand Brazil lost horribly.
Deutschland über alles.
Okay. I'll just put my 2 cents into this. Germany went blitzkrieg on them, according to what a friend of mine said.
Yes.
Who's Brazilian, by the way?
Yes, they did. We absolutely crushed them early on. Multiple scores within the first like quarter or half, however soccer does it, I don't know. And yeah, and then after that, Brazil only managed to score right at the very end. I was
Yeah.
actually kind of pissed at that because I was hoping they would absolutely obliterate them and keep them from scoring. But the goalie made that one stupid mistake of being too far forward right at the very end there. So I can imagine everyone in Germany is celebrating except for that goalie, where it's like, could have stopped that. Could have won. It's like 7-0. Dang it. But yeah, so.
All right, Brazil, you just need to work on your teamwork and not rely on so many a few people at once. I mean, it's kind of like the League of Legends game where you don't rely on the carry, you rely on the entire team, please.
Yes,
Just saying.
good
It's
job
a
bringing it back to
sport.
something nerdy.
It's a teamwork thing. Come on now, you guys. I mean, okay, that's enough. I don't want any Brazilian trying to, you know, do their Brazil jiu-jitsu on me. They have a martial arts, don't forget that.
Yeah, well, Europe has their own martial arts. It's called just freaking wrestling.
Or swords?
Eh, yeah, not as much anymore. But anyway, Seraph of the End. Takaya Kagami. Seraph of the End, The Fall of Gurren Ichinose at 16 Light. Novel Volume 4 is out in Japan. Gurren and Shinya are on the cover.
Oh. I don't know who Shinya is, but I'm assuming that this light novel is based on Gurren's experiences before he became who he is.
Yeah.
And once again, I say again, if you have to have other people write the other parts of your stories, you're doing something wrong. I mean, the point of it is to let people speculate. You know, I want to imagine myself what went on with Gurren, or at least have the author write for himself, unless yes, he wrote himself. You know, a little bit about Gurren's past. Not have someone else, that's not the author, write it.
Yeah.
This is why I cannot take Attack on Titan spin-offs seriously, unless they're just spoofs for the sake of spoofs.
Well, yeah, the problem is that these...
It's the same for fairy tale films.
Yeah, the problem is with spin-offs is that they feel less like a legitimate, you know, story and more just... Oh, hey, look, we're taking advantage of the popularity of this. So, yeah. Anyway, okay. Let's see. Let's go ahead and do the rankings. In fourth place, let's see, one sec. One, two, three. Let's see, which one should be number four? I'm going to say, all right, my number four is Toriko. Mo?
Sorry, I'll check on something. So we're doing a ranking now, right?
Yeah, like I said, my number four is Toriko, just because I enjoyed it. Mm. I honestly don't need any other reason.
My number four is World Trigger, because I would like to see some other series, but they didn't do so well. And World Trigger was, you know, it was kind of funny with the whole... I was like, oh, you know, it was like really funny because they got into the training room, and then I was like, you know, there's been weakness to this. And I was like, yeah, the weakness is that anybody just presses the door button and opens it. I'm like, yeah, that's the weakness.
Yes.
Don't let Enador know that. They're like, oh, there's got to be a way to get out. It's like, he figures it out. We're in trouble. He's like, all right. I found it. The button. God damn, we're done.
All right. Well, number three is Bleach. Mm. Just because it finally has the characters that I actually care about back. So, you know, the ones that I started this stupid series off with. So I'm glad to see them again. And so it was enjoyable. All right. And... Right.
My number three is Nisekoi.
All right, cool.
Because I do like Marika. It was nice that Chapter focused on her. But my number two just ended up being no better than that.
Yeah, it's Nisekoi is my number two, just because it was really funny.
And my number two is Bleach, because seriously, I'm going to say it a million times, thank freaking goodness we get to see Orihime and Chad again.
Yes.
And Ichigo and Uryu in the same chapter, even though, well, not Uryu in the same chapter.
Yeah, and we also get to see Renji and Rukia actually being... goofy around each other, which was enjoyable.
See, Kubo, this is the group I would like to get to know more of, not focus on the other group that appeared in the second arc that ended up taking up most of the panel time just because the other enemy was way stronger than the main guys.
Yep.
In other words, I don't like the Shinigami so much. I never did.
No, yeah, no, they're no fun. Alright, my number one. Alright. My number one is One Piece, of course.
Yeah, because this time was actually good.
Yeah, now we're back up to where we should be. Mm-hmm. It's quite entertaining. I enjoyed it a great deal. It was much fun. Yes.
I liked it because of a little bit. Okay, at first, when I remember I thought they were like really, you know, weird because, you know, how they're designed. But I remember that our memory can only just made them more fun because even though they look kind of like they have those faces of like psychotic killer faces. They're actually helping Luffy. So I was like, well, that's a good thing. And I thought Kelly Bones would be a good guy. And, you know, like, no, it wasn't. Of course, he didn't seem like it at all.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they, the Flamingo thing, that was weird. I was like, why are you saving them?
Yeah, I guess he's being peculiar, but...
He's probably being like, no, I want to finish off myself. Nobody killed him. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
That's reasonable enough. You know, you want to finish off the main person, but...
Yeah, well...
Yeah.
Anyway, yep. And I think that takes care of that. Let's see. Let me just check and see if we've got any comments or anything. Nope. No comments. All right. Oh. Excellent. All right, then. Well, any comments, you can go to burninglizardstudios.com and leave your comments there. You can find me on Twitter at burninglizard, and you can also send emails to burninglizardstudios@gmail.com. And do be aware that this episode will be coming out on Sunday afternoon, because we have all the other episodes scheduled and ready to go with, as we record this, it is Wednesday the 9th, and... I have two new episodes going up every single day, and all the old ones that we recorded, but this one will be edited and posted on Sunday in the afternoon, well, in the evening at 6 p.m. After this, next week's episode, which will be for the Monday following this Sunday that you are possibly listening this on. The episode will come out on Friday, the following week, once we've had a chance to edit everything, record and edit everything together. And also, just as a heads up, if you go to burninglizardstudios.com, you will also find that there are quite a few, other podcasts there. Namely, one being Aninoob, which is where I take a friend that does not watch anime and introduce him to anime shows.
It can't be me.
Nope, not you.
I'm staying out of this one anyway.
Yeah, well, yeah. And then we post that every Wednesday, and then we also post new episodes of Aninoob Current, which comes out every Monday and reviews the episodes of the previous week. That have just come out. So if you listen to that, we've got the first episode of that up. We've got a couple episodes of Aninoob up. We're working on figuring out how to get it on iTunes, but for now it's available at burninglizardstudios.com, where you can just listen to it there, or you can download it. And I think that wraps everything up. So remember, remember, the manga is always better.
All right.
We'll see you all next week.
See you all next week.